you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Yes, I am, yes, I am, yes, I am. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. I believe every lie that I ever told. Paid for every heart that I ever stole. I played my cards and I didn't fold. Well, it ain't that hard when you got sold.
This is my world.
Somewhere I heard that life is a test. I've been through the worst, but I still get my best. God made my mold different from the rest. Then he broke that mold, so I know I'm blessed. Stand up now and face the sun. Won't hide my tail or turn and run. It's time to do what must be done. Be a king when kingdom comes. Well, you can tell everybody. Yeah, you can tell everybody. Go ahead and tell everybody. I'm the man, I'm the man, I'm the man. Well, you can tell
everybody. There you go. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. Welcome to the show. I am your host, Brian the Hammer Jackson. That's right. Along with my companion, booking agent, Robin Cox. She's right there. She's right there. It's 7:02 a.m. in California time. 9:02 a.m. Central, 10:02 East Coast, and in Italy, it's 8 hours, I think. It might be 4 o'clock there. Hello. March Madness, I think, starts today. Basketball fan. I got my bracket. I got a lot of money on this one. I think I need to go to Gamblers Anonymous. Not that I have a problem. The only problem I have is that I lose. Now, if I won, I would not have a problem. Ugh. All right. Anyway, forget about me and my gambling debts. We have a special guest coming in the studio today. It's Joshua Watkins. He's going to be in the studio today. And Joshua's own words, he says he's working with a group of musicians as well as focusing on freedom of expression through art. In his solo work, I write. I use many different you know what? I should really practice my words. Pseudonyms. That's what my word's going to be, but it's not right. Pseudonyms. I think that's, I'm trying to do it correctly. I have something wrong with my mouth. It doesn't work in the morning. Pseudonyms. Let's try it that way. I use many different pseudonyms. There you go. I can get it out. See, if I had a show later on this afternoon, I could have got pseudonyms out. My favorite is Joshua's Tree, after the interview. And if you don't know what pseudonyms means, it means fake, pretend, more or less, when you have a different name or a chat name is not who you are. It's a pseudonym. You're under a different pseudonym. I'm going to move on. After the interview, which will be amazing, we will continue our talk about sexless marriage. I'm looking forward to talking to Joshua. Joshua Watkins, everybody. He'll be in the studio in about, I don't know, maybe 8 minutes. And if you listen, if you'd like to come in the studio and talk to Josh, I'll give you the number. It's going to be very interesting. It's going to be a very interesting interview. Pseudonym. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Pseudonym. Pseudonym. You know, I know Robin's in the studio. She's going, what the fuck? No, I'll be okay. I'll be okay, Robin. I promise you I'll be okay. Pseudonym. Now it's in your head, right? Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-da-da-da-da. Pseudonym. If you'd like to come into the studio at 319-527-6099. 319-527-6099. That's the number to get you in the studio. That's the number you can ask questions to our guests. And ladies and gentlemen, the fabulous Robin. There she is. Good morning, Robin. Robin.
Robin.
How are you, Robin? How are you?
I'm good. I haven't brought coffee yet, but I'm good.
I haven't either, and I'm going to take a quick break before he gets in so we can both drink it, because he's supposed to be in at 7:15, so I'm going to take a quick break so I can make coffee too, because I'm stuck with pseudonym. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Pseudonym. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. Ba 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 da 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 da. Pseudonym. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, we both need coffee, don't we?
Oh yeah, I certainly do.
We do. All right, so what we're gonna do? Yeah.
He's ready to do.
Where did we get that from? I mean, where did I get that? Da 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 da. Come on, help me.
Sure.
Help me, Rob.
No.
It was a puppet thing. Help me with the Muppets. Was it the Muppets? I don't know. I think it was the Muppets. I'm not quite sure. Let me see.
I don't know if it was the Muppets or if it was Sesame Street.
I don't think it was Sesame Street. Okay, wait a minute. Let me see here.
I mean, Muppet. I could just run up over there and ask the people that's got Big Bird on their front yard and on their
front porch. They got
Big Bird. Wait a minute. I think this is Phenomena.
Pseudonym. I'm sorry. And Robin and I are going to go get some coffee, and we're going to be waiting for the great Joshua Watkins. I have a lot of questions to ask that young man, especially his pseudonym name. Pseudonym. Ba 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 ba. Pseudonym. Ba 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 ba. Pseudonym. Ba 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 ba. Pseudonym. I promise, Robin, I'll get coffee. I'll be fine. I promise you. We'll be right back because I lost my mind and Robin's trying to find it before the interview. We'll be right back. Soon.
All right.
Welcome to Nellyville.
I never say a word. I know how you thought I can trip and I'm here about the girl.
No way, hey,
cause they gon' fight over no day. As you can see, but I like your steez, your style, your whole demeanor, the way you come through and holler and swoop me in his feet.
I got gangsta, and I got special ways to thank ya. Don't you forget it,
but it ain't that easy for you to back up and leave him. But you and Dirty got ties for different reasons. I respect that, and right before I turned to leave, she said,
you don't know what you've been to me.
No.
Coffee is about 10 seconds or 15 seconds away for a little sippy sippy. I don't know if Robin's back yet, if she's in the studio. Robin's getting her coffee, so I'm going to wait till she gets her coffee so I can drink my coffee. Let's talk about Joshua. Oh, wait a minute. I have her on mute. Sorry about that. I don't know, Robin, are you
here? I'm here.
I'm sorry, I had you on mute. Are you drinking your coffee?
I'm about
You're making
to.
It?
I had to go in there and,
okay. I'll give you some time. I'll stall. I'll stall.
Keep on that.
And now for your entertainment while we stall, Brian will perform Synonym. Synonym, ba 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 ba. Synonym, ba 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 ba. Synonym, ba 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 ba. Synonym. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. What I'm going to do is, I got 10 seconds, 20 seconds away from coffee. So, Robin, please tell people what you know about Joshua, and everything, and I'll be right back because he's a good guy. Because Joshua. Huh?
Don't really know that.
Oh, wait a minute. No. I got it here. No. I got it. We're going to talk about his art. We're going to talk about his art. There's some things I want to know about Joshua. I won't tip my hand. I'll just say it in an interview because he may be listening and he should be on his way in the studio. And I got to get to my coffee. So,
I understand. I just went and grabbed mine off the Keurig.
I know. You think I could, when I read the, you think when I read it and I get to the part of Synonym, that I won't go ba 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 ba. I hope I could, because it's in my head. I will try to have dignity. No ditty. Yeah. Now, So we're going to be right back. This is unusual. Joshua will be in the studio. I can see the studio in front of me. So if he comes in, I can see him. I'm giving Robin a chance to drink her coffee. I'm going to drink my coffee really quickly. Then after the interview, the interview is going to last 15 minutes. It's going to be a great riveting interview. Riveting. You should just listen to it because you never know what's going to come out of my mouth. And after that, we're going to talk about Sexless Marriage Part 2 because number one didn't go so well. We're going to talk about Part 2. All right, so we'll be right back. I'm going to play this song. I used to love this song. I'm going back to old school. I got to get into my DJ voice. Hey, how you doing, little boppers? Nope, too far. All right, the wolf woman, way too far. Ooh, wolf woman. Yeah, this wolf man Jack. Nope, too far.
How funny.
I think Joshua may be in the studio right now, Robin. I think he is. I think he's on. In fact, he's early. I wanted to have my coffee before I talk to Joshua. But what I want you to do, can you do me a favor? It'll take 10 seconds. Robin, can you tell people who's coming up next? We have the great Joshua Watkins in the studio today. Can you tell people about our other two guests that are coming up? And I'll be right back.
Okay. Well, I don't know who's coming in today. Let's see. Tomorrow we have... Let's see. I'm so sorry. I'm not organized in the morning. Tomorrow we don't have anyone that I know of, but on the 22nd, a very, very interesting artist. He just made the Alabama Music Hall of Fame. His name is Wayne Chaney. He used to play with Little Richard, and they're working on a documentary about Little Richards. And then on the 22nd, we have Holly Million coming in, and she is an artist and a shaman. So those will both be very, very interesting people to talk with and to question in the interview. And then on the 28th, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to forget this, we have Rick Singleton coming in with promoting his book about the Casey White and Vicky White scandal in Lauderdale County, Alabama. So that's coming up. That's another crime and punishment special. So those are things to look forward to. And I've still, as I said, I've still got more people that I'm talking to. And I'm working on trying to get them booked and trying to meet more interesting people to get them to come on the show as well. So I think we've got a good variety coming on so far.
Okay, I'm back. Thank you, Robin. Did not? Okay. Thank you, Robin. You're great. Did I interrupt you?
No, thank you.
Well, thank you. You know, we got some exciting interviews, and I do amazing interviews if I say so myself. The reviews are in, and they say I am amazing, and I love the reviews.
That's great.
Enough you, ladies. I love the reviews. I wrote them myself. They're fantastic reviews.
That's great.
Joshua Watkins, everybody, and that's W-A-T-K-I-N. Don't forget the spelling of Joshua's name. There's a lot of questions I want to ask Joshua. Joshua, I hope he's ready because I'm going to bring him in right now. Are you ready for Joshua, Robin?
Sure. Yes, sir.
Are you sure you're ready for Josh? It's going to be like a concert. Are you ready? It'll be like WWE. Are you ready for Joshua? Come on, you pencil neck geeks. Are you ready? We're going to break a little Slim Jims, and we're going to get Joshua in the studio. We're going to rip it up. We're going to tear it up. We're going to make sure everything is cool for Joshua. Ladies and gentlemen, Joshua Watkins. Look at that crowd there.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Look at that crowd. My God. You're pulling in more people than Taylor Swift. Look at you. Good morning.
Good morning,
good morning, Joshua. I'm doing good. Joshua, you met Robin. Robin, Joshua, Joshua Watkins. There he is in the flesh. Joshua, you are a very interesting man, and I read your bio. And I'm saying, okay, and there's some things I read. I'm saying, okay. Now, I have my questions, and once in a while I'll go off script, you know, ask you some questions to keep you off guard. So I like that. One question I have to ask you, Joshua, are you non-binary? You know what I mean? Do you go with pronouns?
I don't think of pronouns ever, really. I mean, if somebody prefers to be called something, I'll call anybody whatever they want to be called. But I don't really care if anybody thinks I'm a girl or a boy. So I guess you could call me non-binary.
Really? And Joshua, yeah. The reason I asked that, because I'm looking at your bio, let me ask you something. Can I ask you how old you are?
I am 31 years old.
Okay, so are you, okay, X, Y, Z. Are you Y or are you Z group as far as generation?
I think I'd be, it would have to be Y.
You'd be Y, but you're almost to the Z thing, but you are a product of a millennial that had a baby that made a Y. Am I correct, Joshua? Your mother
yes.
Father must be millennials. And that's why, see, you guys are so, see, I'm an older guy. And I'm looking at our world and looking at how you guys read our world and how you like to appear in the world. I have never interviewed a non-binary person with pronouns before. I like to be called Superman. Could you call me that? But anyway.
Of course, Superman.
Thank you. But I know Robin going, what did I do, Ron? But Robin, this is very interesting. This is very interesting. We're going to talk about your art, Joshua. We're going to talk about your art. And we're going to talk about a lot of things, and I'm interested in how you think, man, because you remind me of a young hippie. See, I grew up where there was hippies, I mean, after the hippies, but they're still hanging around, the last of the hippies. The way you think and how art you are, and that's a compliment, because their art, and they were spiritual, and it was a lot of things. It was really good. So that's a compliment. I called you that. I know you don't know what a hippie is. I know. I know you don't, but it's okay. But you can look it up in Google. Let's talk about you. Here you are. You're working with a group of musicians. Is that true, Joshua?
Yeah.
You're working with a group of musicians. What kind of musicians are they?
Mostly we're all songwriters.
Okay.
Everybody plays multiple instruments. It's just kind of, I like to make as many projects as possible.
Okay. Now, do you do this in your spare time? Because songwriters have a really difficult time, especially when they write the song. So you're with a consortium of songwriters, like poets or something? You guys have a group that maybe you send in your work. How does that work, Joshua? So you write a song. What do you do with it?
Well, I really only pick up my instrument to write. I used to practice, but a long time ago, I was in a band, and I got to a fight, and I got punched in the throat.
Wow.
And so
you?
I couldn't talk for months. It's nothing. It's not really a big deal. I can still talk, so it's not really that big of a deal.
Really, did it hurt your larynx? I mean, did it cause some damage? Seriously, did it cause some damage?
Yes. I had to learn how to sing again.
What? Wow.
Yeah, I had to learn how to sing. I talked really, like you could hardly hear my voice. We actually had a show, my band.
Mm-hmm.
We had a show, mm-hmm. and we tried to stop it. And we got the call from the guy that was running the venue, and he was like, well, it's going to be $300 if you don't play. And so I had to come and play. Instead, I just made it more of a art project than, you know, like a concert. It was like kind of like a play, and I just broke a guitar at the end.
Look at you. I mean, I want to get into your head. Excuse me, I'm going to move your brain matter to the side, and I'm in your head now because I'm going to ask you these questions. here we go. You mentioned that you focus on your freedom. Your freedom of expression through the art. And this is why I'm going back with the reference of the old reference, which is old is new again, which is the word hippie. Now, hippies are cool because they're back in the day, we used the word hip. When you're hip, you're cool. So that's how hippie came into play. So what's old is new again. So when you say you're focusing on your freedom of expression through art, talk to me. What do you mean by that?
I mean, I think that everybody needs to realize that we are a part of a big, like there's, you know, two kinds of people, those that think they are God and those that know they're not. Mm-hmm. And so through the freedom of expression, what I mean is it's an expression of the divine. If that makes sense.
Huh. It does, because I'm crazy. Nobody kidding. Yes. Yes, it makes sense. It makes sense. You prefer to be called Joshua Tree. Unusual,
yes.
Josh. I like Joshua Watkins, but you prefer to be a tree. Talk to me about the transition between Watkins and a tree. Joshua
Tree. I was named after a U2 album.
Oh,
that makes sense. That makes sense.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah, but my mother was in love with Bono.
That is cool. Wow. And Joshka, where do you find your inspiration? Where do you find it? I mean, I know you're creative. I know you're talented, but we all have a muse. So what is your muse, or where do you find your inspiration in your art?
From women.
Okay.
I usually write about love, and yeah, especially if I meet a woman and she seems, interesting, I'll kind of try to focus on how she felt during certain moments and things like that.
Wow.
It started
because
whenever I was growing up, my mother was beat. Not by my father.
She was what? Oh, she was abused?
Yes.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry to hear that.
No, it happens all the time.
It does. Unfortunately, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, it's not uncommon, and I wish it was. You know what I mean? I know.
Yeah, I understand that completely. Yeah.
Oh, man. Now, you lived through that crap. See, my father was an asshole. If you look under asshole, you'll see Brian's father. He's posing. He made the cover. And, and I wanted to hurt him for what he did to my mother, which is very abusive. So when you, I don't know how old you were when you saw this abuse, but did you have these feelings like when you're sleeping, I'm gonna kill you, that kind of thing, or I wish you'd die in a train wreck? Do you have those feelings when you were a child?
Well, like I said, it wasn't necessarily my biological father. They divorced whenever I was very young. Like I was like 4 or 5. Sadly, she spent lots of men, you know, trying to find a father figure for the household.
Sure, sure.
I remember. I guess I do understand what you mean. I used to hate my father because he wasn't there.
Right.
I met him years later because, you know, I have 3 children of my own.
Okay.
So I understand more about what went on.
Yeah.
However, whenever those people that did that, whenever I got big enough, I made sure to stop that.
Were you ever afraid that you were going to turn in your father sometimes when you get mad? Are you currently married or are you divorced or separated?
I'm divorced right now.
Do you blame me too? Well, I never got married because I am terrible. I'm a great one-night stand. I'm amazing, Joshua. You would not believe the reviews, but I'm a terrible husband. I'm a terrible.
Well, you're Superman. It's hard.
Yeah,
you know,
that's right. I am Superman, but I was fast. But I was faster than a speeding bullet. Anyway, let's talk about something. So, I had that, but we're going to go. And I was just wondering that, you know, I have a hard time with relationship and relatedness, and I was always afraid that, what I was exposed to, and I'm going to turn into that monster. But let's talk about you instead of my therapy, because you're cheaper. I don't have to pay you. So let's go on. So you do find inspiration in women, so that's unusual. So you find inspiration, and what do you mean? You look into their eyes, and you can see something deep into a woman, or how she moves. What do you look for in a woman that gives you inspiration? How she talks? What do you do?
It's basically how they think, and whether they are like the antagonist or the protagonist, you know?
So
I just kind of try to focus on a bigger picture. I try to just take myself out and kind of view it like over head level and try to place myself in people's shoes.
I guess that's wow. But how can you know? That's kind of like wow. That's a curse and a blessing, don't you think? Do you try to relate somebody and you put yourself in their shoes? But it's really hard to do because a lot of people are so complicated. So I'm thinking, it's a curse or a blessing? Is it usually a blessing at this point because you find inspiration in women? I'm thinking it's a blessing.
Sometimes it is. Sometimes, you know, people take advantage of you trying to care.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's just that's how it goes. It's kind of a catch-22, if you will.
Okay. And how throughout the entire outline of humanity, art seemingly comes from a place that is unseen? You know the question I asked you. And I would like to hear the answer. How throughout the entire outline of humanity, art seemingly comes from a place that is unseen. What does that mean, Joshua?
It means you look all the way back in time, and you can focus on like pyramids and either Central America or Egypt. You could think about the cathedrals in the Gothic era. And then you could think about Da Vinci. You can think about Mozart, who whenever he would write a song, he would just write it all at once without even playing a piano.
Wow.
So, you know, obviously it comes from somewhere other than here.
Josh, you're a very intelligent guy. What's your education? Did you go through college or university?
I got kicked out of school in the eighth grade. I was about 12 or 13.
Okay.
And then I didn't go back. I went to, I went and I got my GED as soon as I turned 16. And then I went to, I took my ACT just to figure out if I could get into a university, and I did. And,
wow.
I went there for about a year, and then I met my ex-wife. We were married for 10 years.
Wow. That's great. Wow, Joshua.
But,
you and I have,
like,
go ahead, Joshua. Go ahead.
Like you though, I have a problem of being a little too generous with love. If that makes
sense. Yes. We got to break you out of that and be more selfish. But yes. You know, women are complex. They are very complex creatures. If you really look at them, they look like aliens. Look at their breasts and their butt, and they don't even have a penis. So they look like an alien from another planet. And we need to get inside their bodies. I agree with you. We'll talk about that later. Right, Alien Robin? We'll talk about that later. You know, it's like stories, and you got stories, and what led you to where you are today? What led you to where you are today? And where are you today? Besides here.
Well, you know, after the 10 years I was married, by the end of my marriage, I stopped playing music altogether because, you know, it kind of created problems. And I became a pipe fitter, and I actually have a broken disc in my back, and that's the only reason why I started focusing on writing again.
Right.
Because I quit playing for a number of years. But I guess what really led me here is genetics.
Yeah. Okay.
My grandfather played the saxophone when man was a woman. My uncle played guitar for Steppenwolf.
Back up. Did you say when you were a woman?
No, my grandfather played the saxophone and when a man loves a woman.
Oh, sorry. I thought you said when I was a woman. Did you hear that, Robin? I'm going, uh-oh.
Yeah, I did.
I said, wait a minute, let's back up. You know, with the non-binary and woohoo. Okay, when a man loves a woman. And that's a great song. When a man loves a woman. It's not as great as Phenomenon. Anyway. go ahead. Continue.
Growing up, I of course, being out of school, I ended up homeless and just meeting all sorts of people because you have to, find a place to stay.
Right.
It was just an interesting life, but it gave me a deeper understanding of people, I think.
Right. What was the most degrading thing you had to do when you were homeless to get a roof over your head? The most degrading thing you had to do?
I would have sex with couples for a place to stay.
Yeah, I joined a club. I just did it because I was horny. Sorry, kidding, Josh. That's not so bad. Did you have the sex with the men too, or is it just he just watched and you did his girlfriend or his significant other?
It was
No judgment here, Josh. There is no. One time, a woman put her finger at my butthole, and I hit my head on a headboard. See, we have that in common. Okay.
Well, if anyone does that to me, they're going to get their head hit hard too. So.
I know. Wow. See, Joshua, you and I are like the same. You couldn't tell us a difference. We're like twins. Here we go. You did live an interesting life. And some people would say you lived many lives. Would that be fair to say you have come, you've been to the bottom and then you rose to the top and then you kind of fell back in the middle and you're climbing your way back? Would that be fair to say, Joshua, you have many lives to tell? You have many lives. And this was part of your art. Your experience makes your art stronger. Do you not agree?
Most definitely. I think that, like I said about, art comes from the unseen, is I think that everything happens for a reason.
Right.
Whether you want to accept it or not, it leads you to where you are. And
wow.
And there's kind of a beauty in that thought.
Mm-hmm. Well, there is. But art is kind of weird because your art may be my Euro trash, and my Euro trash may be something you pick up going, hey, you know what? I can use this because, you know what I mean? Art is, it's hard to get the masses, the general public, to understand what a true artist's art is because you have the soul. You breathe life into that art. It's your baby. You gave birth to whatever it is. And does it piss you off when people misinterpret your art? I'm thinking a painting or a song. I'm thinking a song, especially a song. You know how we always misinterpret the words of a song? I'll give you an incident. It was, have you ever heard of the Eagles? It used to be a group. They had, I think they had a song called Something on a Highway. Remember that song? Put Me on a Highway. Put Me on a Highway. So, and so, So as kids, we didn't have good ears. So you remember that? Put me on a highway.
Take it to the limit by the Eagles.
Take it to the limit. That's what it is. Take it to the limit. One more time. What we interpret the song as pussy on the highway. Show me the way. Take it to that. And I thought for a long time that was the lyrics. And so somebody looked at me like, "Are you a degenerate? Are you an asshole?" No, I just won't sing in public anymore. Stop bullying. Yeah, bully me. Shame me. So when you write your art, and let's say you're a songwriter. So when you do put in it into song, and I guess you're working with a consortium of people, not just you. Are you in a group of people that you guys kind of just talk together, mix it?
That's what I'm interested in doing right now, because I used to be a little bit of a prima donna when I was younger, and so I was the main songwriter. I had a few different band members. But now I'm trying to learn how to collaborate.
Right. Work with others.
Teamwork makes the dream work, I guess.
Very good. Wow. But you know what? I'll give you another one. Remember, have you ever heard there's no I in team, Josh? Have you heard that? There's no I in team?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, guess what? There's a me in that motherfucker. Look at team. Me in there. Oh, you're learning bad things. No, Josh, no. There's a me in that motherfucker. I know, Robin. I'm almost done. Robin goes, oh, God, I got to go to church.
Oh, Lord.
I know, Lord. Lord, even Jesus. Jesus, reach down now, Jesus.
I think I need to put a clause in. I can't be held responsible for what's there.
I know, I cannot be responsible for what's going on here. Stories of what led you here today, and we already kind of talked about it. We kind of went over it a little bit, and you already talked about what led you here today, and I could imagine your experience, and you got through a lot. Did you experiment with any during the homeless period? I don't know how old you were, but did you experiment with drugs or hallucinogenics or anything like that to get you to look within yourself?
Oh, yes, yes. DMT made me Catholic.
What? I almost spit out my coffee.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I guess the dope made you see the Pope, but it made you Catholic? What do you mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'm Catholic. I do my rosary and things like that. Like I said, there's only two types of people, and I don't care which God people think exist. As long as you know that you aren't God, then you don't cut yourself off from that lifeline of divinity.
Very good. So after all you went through, you're still a spiritual person deep inside. You're still, and when I say spiritual person, do you believe in God? Do you believe in a spiritual God? He's not that one guy, on the clouds looking down at you, but it's a spiritual being, an energy. What kind of God do you believe in, Josh?
I believe that we are all broken pieces. And what if God doesn't know where he came from? And maybe whenever we all come back together, we can find out together.
I like that. Because there's another question I'd like to ask you. What if God was one of us? I think about that.
I like that song. Probably because...
The Greeks had a word for that, and it was agape.
That was the all-encompassing love from God, the agape.
Wow, Robin.
Yeah.
Wow, look at you, my little Athena.
Right?
Right. Ooh, la, la. She's impressing me. Robin brought chills. Yes. Wow. Robin, you brought chills to my body. Look at you. So, Josh, We're almost done, and it says beauty is within each and every one of us. How can we remind one another of the sovereignty of the individual? That's a little deep, Josh. I don't know. I'm going to tell you something. I gave up on people. I did. I think people were morons, and I'm just here to look after them. So talk to me, Josh. Talk to me, Josh. The beauty is within each and one of us, and how can we be reminded about sovereignty of the individual? Tell me, explain that to me, please.
The way I think of it is you have to focus. And you know, I've been trying to work on meditation because we all have our weaknesses, we have our strengths, but there's still right. something about each person that like vindicates them or justifies what they do or how they do and why they do.
Right.
And whenever you realize that you're not in a place to judge anyone else, then
yeah.
you know you can start to realize that there's a beauty in each individual, even the biggest asshole.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You just have to.
I met him.
Yeah. I've met a few.
I bet you my asshole is bigger than your asshole. Exactly. You met some Robin.
No, I met the biggest asshole.
I met the biggest asshole. How dare you, sir? I guess they do have some redeeming qualities, even a big asshole. He doesn't stink all the time, you know. He has some kind
yeah.
of quality. So you're basically saying look for the good. So everybody has some kind of good or substance in them, no matter how rough on the edges they may be. Is that a good interpretation of that, Josh?
A little incomplete, but yes, that's a good interpretation.
Yeah. Okay. I too dropped out of school. It was preschool, and I never went back. What a horrible experience. Horrible.
Jesus.
I was the only one. Yeah, I dropped out of preschool. I don't need no education. I got a show. Are you kidding? No. Damn kids. No, I'm
well,
not as
smart.
Well,
it seems to be the prerequisite for...
Exactly.
You know, I'm not going to get on that.
I'm not as smart as Josh. He's deep. He's intelligent. He
no,
a great
you're
sense
way
of humor.
Smarter than me. Obviously, you. Obviously, you're more successful. So you have to be smarter.
Nope. I am calling you from a Walmart box on a burner phone.
Walmart.
Yeah, I'm gonna get the refrigerator
like,
box.
Like a flip phone, you know.
Exactly. Exactly. That's what it is. I kind of upgraded from the tin can into strength, so I'm now in the technology world. Exactly. Well, Josh,
okay.
We're done. We are, it goes
okay.
by so fast. And basically what I'm going to do, Josh, is I'm going to give you one leading question, and then I'm going to give you a minute just in case we didn't go over some things that you want to touch about. But the leading question I'm going to ask you is, just in case people, what are you promoting? The overall thing, what are you promoting? Are you promoting art? Are you promoting your spirituality? Are you promoting who you are as a person and an artist or a project? Please answer me. I'd like to know.
I'd like to promote that art is a very important expression of humanity. Have you ever noticed whenever you walk through a town, it's like, all the buildings look like a Dollar General. There's no
right.
beautiful architecture anymore.
Right.
And, and until art is put, for like beauty needs to be there, like not just in a metaphorical sense, but in a literal sense. Like it's good for people to see beautiful things. It's good for people to hear
right.
beautiful things. And I believe that if we all, rather than focus on the ugliness of the world. And instead project how we wish the world would be, that there's a possibility there. I got a group of friends that I'm going to get in touch with you guys, Eric Christie and Zachariah Thigpen.
Mm-hmm.
you know, Aries, she's a very good songwriter. Zachariah is too.
Right.
But they have a little group thing that they're doing. And I have a friend named Colt Hester. He's a very good bass player first. But I believe he took philosophy, so he writes a lot of poetry and thoughts and things. Just anybody that wants to make something beautiful, like, that's what I would like to promote.
It's pretty damn good, Josh.
But I had to make it last night because I didn't have a music page or anything.
Mm-hmm.
I used to, but, you know, I quit for a long time. So, you know, I've only written like 30 songs within the last year. And, you know, of course, you know, I write poetry. I guess if anybody would like to get to know anything like more, it's landfall, BMI. And then in parentheses, paradox. Because I inherited a publishing company from my grandfather.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to give you an extended invitation. I want you to come back. I want to either hear your songs or hear your poetry, or if you didn't go to the studio and it's just written, I'd like to hear it. I'd like to hear it. Or do you have any songs on YouTube or anything that anybody can hear, Josh? Joshua Tree? You go by Joshua Tree, as I go by. Yeah. Superman. You and I both have that in common. Right
is
now,
there a phone booth around?
Mark.
Can you change it to the outfit?
Yes. The outfit is killer. People go for the outfit. You know, they like to see me fly over with my tights. You know, and sometimes I fly low. That's what I do, Josh, just to give them a little treat. I would model my outfit for you. Yes, I would. You could be like my Bat Boy. Oh, no, that's Batman and Robin. Who cares about those sissies? We got better tights.
Right.
I would. I mean, I would love to promote. This is what we usually do, Josh. You know, this show, we started like 15 years ago, and our credo is we move indie artists forward by giving them promotion, getting them on the radio. We are worldwide. I'm known in South Korea. I think it's South Korea or North Korea. Who cares? They still listen. but we do get exposure here. And I would love for you to come back, and I would love for your friends to contact Miss Robin here. Robin is the best. And What I'm going to do is – oh, Josh, are you done? I mean, do you need a little bit – you want to say anything else because we didn't go over anything that you want to make a point, or are you basically –
I was just saying that, yes, Miss Robin is a very kind person.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you guys so much for the only reason why I didn't record a track that was finished was because a tree fell on my house yesterday.
A tree fell on your house?
Are you
in California?
Had storms the other night.
Yeah.
It was wind. No, I'm in Alabama. I was born in the Netherlands, Spanish to Alabama as a baby. So.
Oh, okay.
You know. But yeah. The wind was blowing, and it had like that tree disease where it makes the bark lumpy, and it basically
it
just broke off the roots. Like the roots didn't even come out the ground with it. Yeah, I know. So yesterday was an interesting day.
That's
what I get for being a procrastinator.
Uprooted out of the concrete, yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
And that's just any kind of big storm can do that.
Can you imagine a tree? Were you in the house at the time when the tree fell on you?
Yes, I was watching a show called The Curse, and
you're watching a show called The Curse, and a tree fell on your house.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yes.
Sounds like my luck.
Yeah. Exactly.
God's got a sense of humor, if nothing else. You know?
God does, doesn't he? Especially a tree with Joshua Tree, and if a Joshua Tree, and you're watching The Curse, and a tree falls on your house. It's just—is that a coincidence? I think not. God does have a sense. He does have a sense of humor. He really does, or she does. Well, Joshua, if anybody needs to get a hold of you, how do they get a hold of you? You're a very interesting guy. You're a likable guy. There's some stalkers out there who need somebody to watch, and it could be you. So how do they get a hold of you?
Joshua Tree on Facebook. My music page, of course, like I said before, Landfall, comma, BMI, parentheses, Paradox. I also made an X account. That's Joshua J Tree Landfall, and that's on X. So, but
okay.
I made them all yesterday.
Wow, Joshua! Before you go, we have somebody. I'm going to tell you. Don't get scared now. She's a very lovely woman, but she is a psychic and a clairvoyant. She's my original ghost hunter. She knows ghosts. She knows ghosts, and ghosts know her. And she has her hand up, so I think she wanted to say something to you before you left. I want to introduce you to my psychic, Pat Oberlein. There you are, Pat. Meet Joshua. You got Pat.
Hi, Joshua.
Hello, Madam.
This is Pat.
Yay.
Yeah, there you go. Yay for Pat. Now, Joshua, we have a treat for you. You've been through hell and back. You met the devil and you spit in his face. Ha ha, devil. And you came out looking good. You came out looking good. Now, do you believe in psychics, Joshua? Do you believe in spiritual entities?
Yay, I've seen ghosts. So, and I've seen UFOs and stuff. Yeah.
You have? Okay. Did you see the ship or did you see
Depends. Whenever I was 14 years old, I sold the tape of a UFO. You could see the bottom of the ship, and I was with my ma, and we could hear ourselves echo off of it. But I sold that tape for drugs whenever I was like 17. Whenever I saw ghosts, I lived at a place called Hay Street, and now I see orbs on my Ring cameras. So, you know.
Do you really? Wow.
Yeah, they're everywhere.
I saw Jesus once when I smoked some good weed. Does that count?
It can.
That could. All right, he was a ghost. But interesting, orbs and everything. And Pat, you believe in orbs, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
You believe in orbs. And you believe in ghosts, Pat. Tell them that what you do is you clean houses. Pat, we don't say it aloud on the show. Pat, if there's people that have a haunting, they call Pat. Pat will go in there and get the ghosts out of the house because they don't pay the rent. She'll get them out. And she cleans the house. So what you believe in, Josh, and some people say, cuckoo, but you're not cuckoo. You're one of us, Josh. Welcome to the Insane Asylum. We love you. So you're one of us, Josh. You're one of us. So I want to know if you're interested. Yeah, I want to know if you're interested in getting a psychic reading from Pat.
That sounds interesting.
It does. Yes.
I'm game for everything.
Okay.
Well,
Pat.
Got them laid out.
Okay. And Pat, you already have the cards done for Joshua? That's fast.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Joshua, you must have hit a nerve with Pat because Pat usually don't do the cards with just everyone, and she already has the cards down. She must have had some kind of spiritual connection with you. I'm going to shut up now. And Joshua's going to get his reading by Pat Oberlein. I'm going to be quiet. Shh. Take it away, Pat. Shh.
Okay, Josh. You know how you've been having...
Joshua. It's Joshua. It's Joshua Tree.
Joshua. Sorry.
I made a mistake, call him Josh. But sometimes he likes to be called Superman Psychic. But it's Joshua. All right. I'm going to be quiet. Here you go.
You have a lot of hope and faith right now that things are going to work out. And there is happiness around you right now. There is a girl around you that you have been separated or something. It looks as though there's a change of residence going on here. And I think she's kind of moving away from being together, but the timing isn't right now. So that's probably the problem. You are going to have new opportunities, and you are going to change your personality. And there is a big change and a shift in your daily life coming up. It's telling you to have faith because you are going to succeed. The success is pretty well guaranteed because the way the cards are sitting. You've sacrificed a lot to get where you are, but there's new opportunities. There's love coming for you. Don't worry. The next person is not going to treat you the same way. So if you had a problem with the last person in your life, it's not going to happen again.
That sounds about right. Everything before the part that I don't know sounds right. That's weird.
I know it's weird. But I don't know. I just I shuffle the cards and that's what I see, right? So I've been reading cards for 50 years almost, so.
Thank you, Madam.
Oh, you're welcome. Anytime. You need a reading, come on Brian's show.
Wow. Wow. And Pat, do you want to tell her where your Facebook is? Because he's on Facebook too, and maybe you connect that way.
Well,
yeah.
You can always find me on Messenger.
There you go. And you also have a website, Pat.
Yes,
it's Pat Oberlin. Yeah.
Pat Oberlin? Is that like O-B-E-R?
Yeah, O-B-E-R.
And L-A-N?
Yes.
Okay. L-E-I-N.
Oh. Oberlin. Oberlin.
Okay.
She's German. Well, Robin could give you the information because she... I think... Are you friends with Robin, Pat? Are you friends with Robin on Facebook?
Yeah, now I am.
Okay.
Now
well, there
am.
You go.
Yep.
You can friend Robin, and then you can get Pat. There. That's one way to doing it. There you go. I'm here to put
connection.
People together. Yeah, look at that spiritual. I am Superman.
There you go. Well, you can find me
it's
on Spiritual
Niagara.
No.
Yeah.
What?
Look up in the sky. Is it bullshit? No, it's Brian. Yeah. Go ahead, Pat. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Tell the people your website.
Oh, spiritualniagara.ca.
That's really...
members directory.
Oh, okay.
Well, before we go, Robin has to laugh. Thank you, Pat. Thank you so much for the reading for Joshua.
Oh, you're welcome.
Robin, do you, and it was a good reading at that. Robin, do you have any last question before we let Joshua out into the woods? And it's like we put him in a cage and we let him out in the woods. Run, Joshua, run, be free.
As long as nobody's hunting me.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I forgot it is hunting season. Come back, Joshua, come back. Robin, do you have any questions or anything? Okay. Robin's probably busy. I want to thank you. I want to thank you, Josh. Come back anytime. I hope to interview your friends and let's promote other stuff and healing and art and just having you on is a good time. I'm serious. It is a good time. Everybody. Yeah,
thank you, sir. Thank you so much, Brian.
You're welcome. Thank you. You're
Superman.
Welcome. Anytime,
I'm sorry,
man.
Superman. That's what I know.
Sorry about that. I was having to clean up after honey.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, do you have any questions, Robin, that you want to?
No, not really, no.
Okay.
Dogs
sorry.
Don't
you
don't.
No, see something out the front don't window and will not quit, will not stop barking.
Well, and when, you know that when Joshua was on, the cat went crazy. Now we got the dog barking. There's Mr. Fred again. See, what are you doing to these animals?
No, I mean, it's like every time I turn around, honey, you left me a surprise. Right by the door so I could step in it. Yeah, I got right in the walkway so I could step in it. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, we haven't even been up 2 hours.
Well, that interview took a turn. Thank you. Thank you, pets. Yeah,
yes, thank you, Madam Pet. And thank you, Madam Robin.
All right.
Thank you, Brian. Superman, thank you, Superman.
It's my pleasure. Joshua, come back. Joshua Watkins, everybody. That's WAK, WATKINS, but his friends call him Joshua Tree. Joshua Tree. That's the man. And Josh, I'm going to get my suit from the cleaners, and I will be flying over your house soon. I will be flying with my new tights. I guarantee you.
That sounds like a good
idea. I'm going to do the Fabizio. They're very good.
That's right,
watch.
Baby. Yeah, that's right.
Fabizio dance
cut. Wow. All right, guys. Have a good day. We'll be right back, and we'll be talking about sexless marriage. Are you in a sexless marriage? And we're going to talk to you about problems and why people have sexless marriage, that kind of thing. Joshua is not in a sexless marriage. He's a stud. You can tell Joshua's a stud. Josh just opens his lips and women want to sit on him. You can tell. There you go.
You got me blushing. Quit.
Be safe, Joshua. Thank you for coming in. Joshua Tree, everyone. And we'll be right back.
Goodbye.
Bye, my friend. Be well. Joshua Tree, everyone. And I think the interview was good. I like him. He's a good guy. What do you think? I think he's a good guy. And we'll be right back with more Robin and more Pat and me. And if you'd like to come into the studio, you can review my interview. I love that. If you have a review for me and mention Joshua, if you mention Joshua, you can win $1,000. Me and Pat have given away a lot of money on this show, right, Pat? A lot of money.
Oh, yeah, right.
(319) 527-6099 That's the number to call in the studio. That's the number to talk to the lovely Robin and the lovely Pat. We'll be right back with sexless marriage. Are you in one? Wow. I know. We'll be right back.
Say something, I'm giving up on you. I'll be the one if you want me to. Anywhere I would have followed you. And I am feeling so small.
dropped it. And we're back.
Say something I'm giving up on you.
Mm-mm. That's a very good song. But that song is good. But today I only have one song in my mind. Sudium. Ba 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 ba. Sudium. Ba 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 ba. Sodium. Ba 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 ba. Sodium. Get out of my head. Can't get out of my head. Sodium. Ba 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 ba. The voice is in my head. I'm gonna need Pat to get rid of the sodium demon in my head. I can't stop. Da 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 da. Shh. Da 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 da. Sodium. Mm-mm-mm-mm. Yeah. Well, thank you, Josh, for coming in and putting up with all the craziness. I hope you had a good time. I had a good time with him. We have more guests coming in, more interviews coming in. We have a shaman, not the toilet paper, shaman. Sufi, not Charmin. We don't have Charmin coming in. Shaman coming in. It's like the clairvoyant. Da 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 da. So did him. Sorry. I'm going mad, people. You're listening to this live on the radio. I am going crazy. So the great Robin's booking great guests. They're coming into the studio. They are. And we're going to continue our show. Are you in a sexless marriage? Are you laying there naked and the only one cares is you? Were you up for the night but down for the fight? You know what I'm talking about. Are you on medications and your medication is saying, you know what? No sex tonight. These are things happening in the bedrooms of America today. You're not alone, and we're going to experience it in a world where men are having erectile dysfunction and women are dried up. Oh, they need lubrication, and he needs a penis pump. We're going to discuss that in the world. Right now, we're going to be right back with this fabulous music. Here we go. And we'll be right back. Yeah. Take it away.
Phenomena. Phenomena. Phenomena.
It's for you.
The question is, what is a menominee?
That's a classical, classical song. There you go. There you go. It gets in your head, right? Yeah. I like to put, I would like to play that, and you know, it's like going, okay, Rob, pretend that you're not married. Okay, you're not married, and I'm in Bama. Yep, here we go. We're at the redneck bar called Turtles and Poop. I don't know. I don't know. So we're at the bar, Turtles and Poop. Mm-hmm. We love the line dancing. And there you go. I'm in suspenders, and I got a hat on, and you love my suspenders, you know. Yeah, and I got Nike tennis shoes on. So I mosey up to you, and I say, hello. Are you new in town? Because I am. What do you say,
Mom? I would probably start laughing, because if you were wearing suspenders and that get up, we would know you were new to town.
Oh, my God.
Everyone
now lower my head.
Down.
Oh, my God. If you listen to this, Robin, I have to lower my head and sneak out of the bar. Hello. Oh, my God. Wow. That was my best outfit, too. Wow.
All right, we had a guy who used to come in our store. He wore a sweatsuit every day with suspenders. But like,
wow.
Can you not pull them drawstrings a little tighter in the pants? Must you wear suspenders?
Oh, Jesus.
Can you keep up what?
Jesus. Wow. Well, Robin, you know what time it is, right? It's time for us, before we get to our main topic about sexless marriage again, it's time to play the game, the Pat. It's like, what the fuck are you talking about, Brian? I don't know this song game. Thank you. So, I think she's gonna need your help on this one. I think she's gonna need your help. Okay, here we go. Pat, seventies. It's in the '70s. And here's how it goes. I read the lyrics of the song. Pat will guess what the song is by me just reading the lyrics. We used to do that. Remember, Robin, we used to do that. I swear to God, we would go on a bus trip, and the boys, you know, the little boys, they're nasty little boys. They would go, pussy on the highway, show me the way, take it. That's how we used to. I thought that was. And then Prince used to have a song called Controversy.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that song with Prince?
Mm-hmm.
Controversy.
Oh, yeah.
Now, if you listen to that song, let me see. How do you spell controversy? Controversy. S-Y. Here we go. Now, if you listen to this song, I'm going to play this song for a little bit. This is Prince's song, Controversy.
Mm-hmm.
Listen closely, and you're going to see why we screwed that one up, too. Here we go. This is Prince singing Controversy. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go. Now you heard the song. We screwed up the words. Instead of saying, am I black and white, well, instead of saying controversy, we said, touch your pussy. And if you listen to it, it does sound like, watch this. Watch this. There you go. So close. And they wonder, what's wrong with those people? What are you smoking? That's your pussy. All right. There you go. Now it's time for Robin to play the song. As we screwed up some words, I will read the correct words to Robin. Robin will name the song. I think Robin's going to need the help here. Pat's going to name the song. And I'll give you the 70s.
No.
It's the 70s. It's the 70s. Here's the words.
Mm-hmm.
We're no stranger to love. You know the rules and so do I. A full commitment, what I'm thinking of. You wouldn't get this from any other guy. I just want to tell you how I'm feeling. I got to make you understand. Never going to give you up. Never going to let you down. Never going to run around and desert you. Never
mm-hmm.
going to make you cry. Never going to say goodbye. Never going to tell a lie and hurt you. Anytime, Robin, if you know the song.
I know it too, but I can't think of the name. I thought it was the 80s.
In the 80s. Name the song, you guys.
Yes, it's the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We've known each other for so long.
Your heart's been aching, but you're too shy to say it. We both know what's been going on. We know the game, and we're going to play it. And if you ask me how I'm feeling, don't tell me you're too blind to see. I'm never going to give you up, never going to let you down,
mm-hmm.
never going to run around and desert you, never
mm-hmm.
going to make you cry, never going to say goodbye, never going to tell a lie and hurt you. Name the song,
mm-hmm.
kids. Name it.
I can't.
I can't think of the name of it or the one who sings it, but I can hear him in my head.
Oh, come on.
Isn't that awful, hon?
Wow.
He does this to me all the time, and then he tries to sing it and makes it worse because my brain is telling me of
it. And here it is. Rick Astley, Never Gonna Give You Up.
I just wanna tell you.
There you go. Never going to give you up. And, you know, see, I have a secret. I love older women. I love older women. I'm like an older woman serial killer. I like to spread their legs and snap their hips.
I got one for you.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Tell me if you know this song. I bet you don't.
Okay.
Older women, they're beautiful lovers. Older women, they understand. And I've been around some. I have discovered that older women know just how to please a man.
Mm. Wow. Okay, you got me. I don't know. Pat, do you
That's
know that song?
That's an old country song. That's an old
wow.
Back in the 70s.
Wow.
Really?
I don't listen to country.
Wow. But, oh, I remember it. Yeah.
Well, mm-hmm. I got to start listening to country because I haven't listened to country in a while.
This is old country. I don't listen to this garbage now that they call country. It's to me that it's like redneck rock.
It is, right? Country kind of blended into rock, like country rock. Is that true?
Yeah, but it's like they come up with the most redneck sounding lyrics and then put it to like soft rock music. And then they'll add like a musical break of rap in the middle of it. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Well, I'm going to, since I have a country girl, thank God you.
If you're going to, in one song, you know, stick to one genre in the same song.
Well, since you're a country expert, I'm glad to have you. Thank God you're a country girl.
Actually, I'm not.
So,
I'm not at all.
Well, Beyonce has a, Beyonce is trying her luck at country, Pat and Robin. And this is her country song. And tell me if it's country, because I don't think it's country. When I hear country,
it's probably not.
I listen, like the southern song. I like the twang. I miss it. There's no twang in this, even though she's from Texas. But there's no twang. There's no country. There's no soul. When I hear a country song, you got some soul in it, right? You're crying in your beer. You lost your love. Your dog died. Whatever. There's some heart and soul in it. Here's a little bit of Beyonce. Tell me if you, and it's called Texas Hold'em. Tell me if it's country. Here we go.
This ain't Texas. Oh. Ain't no Hold'em.
Hey.
They are caught down, 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 down. So park your Lexus.
Oh.
And throw your keys up.
Hey.
Go round, 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 round. And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real live boogie and a real live hold down. Don't be a bitch, come take it to the floor now.
Woo!
There's a tornado in my city. It's the basement. That shit ain't pretty.
It sounds more like bluegrass.
I'm ready to kiss this sweet redemption passing time, ooh, one step to the right. We headed to the dive bar we always saw at night. Ooh, run me to the left. And spin me in the middle, boy. I can't read the mind. This ain't Texas. Ain't no holding.
Come take it to the floor now.
I promise I will not play it again. I know. Don't get mad at me.
You promised us that last time you played it.
I know.
Honey.
What
I
do you guys think?
Is like, can I not get through the song without the word hoedown? I'm sorry. I've lived in the South all my life. I've never been to a hoedown. Never
right.
even heard of one, having one. That's just, that's more bluegrassy. Than it is.
Yeah, she used all the stereotypical words: hoedown, whiskey.
Yeah,
yeah. I got spurs.
Uh-huh.
Well, here's the words. I'll read it really fast.
I've never been to
these
a
are her words. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
exactly. These are the words in the song. You tell me if it's country. This ain't Texas. Ain't no hold'em. So lay your cards down, 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 down. So park your Lexus and throw your keys up. Stick a round, 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 round. And I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real-life boogie and a real-life hoedown. Don't be a bitch. Come take it to the floor now. Woo-ha. There's
okay.
a tornado.
I don't like
he's
it.
Getting her, he's getting her bluegrass and her a badass.
Yeah. Woo-ha. Exactly.
Really bad.
And then she goes, there's a tornado. There's a tornado in my city. Hit the basement, hit the basement. That shit ain't pretty. That rugged whiskey because we're surviving, because we're surviving. Puffing on red cup kisses, sweet redemption, passing time. Yeah, woo-hoo.
None of that makes sense to me at all.
Me either. Oh, one step to the right, we headed to the dive bar we always thought was nice. Oh, run me to the left, then spin me in the middle, boy. I can't read your mind. This ain't Texas, ain't no hold'em. So lay your cars down, 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 down. So park your Lexus. And we can go on. We can go on. And it says, I know, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if I could even go on. But anyway, that's and I'll be damned if I can't slow dance with you. Come pour some sugar on me, honey, too. It's a real-life boogie, real-life hoedown. Don't be a bitch.
Oh, you're still
come
going,
take it to the floor.
You?
Woo-hoo, woo-hoo, woo-hoo,
stop.
Woo-hoo. It's a lot more. So, I mean, it's
stop.
So...
Stop it.
I know. It's so ridiculous. It is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
yeah,
it's
kind
of weird. You know, it's kind of weird. And I'll tell you what is weird. You know, Muhammad Ali was the best in the business. You guys know Muhammad Ali. But when Muhammad Ali got old, it was sad. And another prize fighter knocked him on his ass. Well, here's the thing. Taylor Swift used to be country, and then she went into pop.
Yeah, I thought that. Uh-huh.
Yeah, she started off as country, and then she went into pop. So, no big thing about Beyonce went into pop and sliding in the country. Kind of get it, what's going on here?
She's trying to do a flip-flop and see if she'll be just as successful as Taylor Swift was.
Right. Right.
And the mainstream music, yeah. She's not stupid. That's smart.
Right. And Taylor Swift is going up. Her light is her light is still shining bright.
Yeah.
Beyonce's light's been dim for a long ass time.
Yeah. She's
long
like Lady Gaga. I hadn't heard much about her in a long time.
Right. Right. So I'm thinking this is sad. This is a champion that's going hold down. That's my thing about that.
She's thinking, I mean, she got a good idea changing genres and all, but she picked the wrong one to change to.
Right.
She really did.
You're right.
She did the wrong genre.
I agree.
Mm-hmm. Especially since she just has no talent at that kind of music either.
Right. Exactly. So it's kind of sad because, I mean, Taylor Swift, I remember when she came onto the scene in the first, I guess it was Emmy Awards or whatever, and she beat out Beyonce, and then Kanye West went on stage saying, no, Beyonce had the best thing, and saying Beyonce is the best, and now Beyonce is chasing Taylor Swift. Okay, since we're singing a song, there's a little old lady in a home. And I want to dedicate her. She's probably listening to. She's in a home right now. She's in a wheelchair, and she loves me. And she wants to have sex with me. I don't blame her. The woman's about 87 years old. Mm-mm-mm. I never saw her ass because she's always sitting down, but I'm sure it's a fine ass. So I want to. I want to dedicate this song to her.
Okay.
This is how I feel. Yeah. Let's take the lights down low, everybody. Low. Yeah. Pat will light a candle. Go ahead, Pat, light a candle. And I want to just tell her this in my sexy voice. Hello. She turns her on. It makes her spin like a top in that chair. She keeps spinning around, not going anywhere. It just spins like a top. Yeah. And see if you can name this song. So, what you gonna do? I'm here, baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me, I am patiently waiting on you. Now, this is my sexy time. This is sexy time. This is not laugh time. This is sexy time. This is sexy. This is Robin. This is sexy time.
It's funny. It's pretty funny.
No, it's not. It's
like you're trying to imitate. What's his name? The Barry White. It's like
You got it. Pretty damn good, Robin. I didn't think you were going to get it. Pretty damn good. I was just seeing this last verse because
I know old music. It's new music. I don't know.
I'll just do this last verse because it's getting Pat really hot. Here we go because you haven't heard it. Here you go, Pat. And that lady in the wheelchair just spinning around like a top. This is for you.
Oh,
hey, babe.
Funny.
Your foreplay just blows my mind. So why don't we stop all the talking, girl? Why don't we stop wasting time? Because I had my share of lovers, and some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, baby, I wish you would. Mm-mm-mm. Because you keep Pat is going crazy. Pat's going to throw her bra at the computer because I'm on tour. There you go. Because I'm getting my sexy time voice going. Because you keep telling me this and you keep telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go back. Mm-mm-mm. You say there's a lesson that you want me to teach. Well, here I am, Patty. Practice what you preach. You're laughing at my sexy.
Is that a real song?
That's it. You already know it's a real song. You said it what it was. That's
oh,
these are the lyrics.
Well, yes.
Mm-hmm. It's just, I'm telling you this and I'm telling you that, because once
yep.
I've been with you, you'll never go back.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lesson that I'm going to teach. Here I am, baby. Practice what you preach. Pat, are you going to faint? Because I got my sexy voice going on.
You know,
go,
I can't guess this. I can't guess this.
Well, she already got the song. This is Barry White, Practice What You Preach. So I'm just saying the lyrics for you and that other lady spinning like a top. Girl. Sean, it's okay, because girls just go crazy over this. I can't help it. It's the charm that I have. Pat's going to lose her mind. Girl, it's just you and me. Pat,
I'm gonna lose my
funny and sexy time. Why don't you stop? Why don't you start turning down the lights and show me just what you can do? Hey, baby. Pat, this is sexy time. I'm serenading you. I'm serenading you.
When you read the lyrics, I laugh at a lot of things.
You don't realize how ridiculous I sound until you read them out loud.
Okay, you know, you guys don't deserve my sexy time. You don't deserve my sexy time. Here's a little bit of it.
So, what do you want to do?
I'm here,
baby. I'm ready, baby. I'm waiting on you. Believe me. I am patiently waiting.
Here we go, Pat. Get ready.
Yeah. There's something wrong with me. Every time I'm alone with you. All the talking, girl. Why don't we stop wasting time? I've had my share of lovers. Some say I'm damn good. And if you think you can turn me out, maybe I wish that you would. 'Cause you keep telling me this and telling me that. You say once I'm with you, I'll never go. Time for Pat. She thinks it's a commie hour. No more sexy time.
Oh, I know. Wow. Mr. Fred likes it. Meow, meow, meow. Honey likes it. I sing to the animals.
She's thinking she's going to go outside, but I know her, as soon as we walk out the door, she's going to want to run and hide in my coat because it's cold outside.
How cold is it over there in Bama?
Well, right now it is 42 degrees. It got down to 26.
Wow.
Now, tomorrow the high is 70. So,
wow.
As I said, crazy weather.
It is crazy weather. We got 80 over here, but we had a hell of a rainstorm. Holly just confirmed she will be on the show. Holly's going to be on the show the 22nd. Everybody, thank Robin for the guest that we've been having the last week and a half. Robin is the one that brought him to our show. And I want to thank you so much, Robin. You have upgraded our guests, and they are very interesting. Holly Million will come. I'm sorry?
I said, I hope to continue to find more.
Oh, you do. I mean, you're in the driver's seat. They gave you the car keys. I'm drunk. I'm in the back. Keep driving, baby. You're doing well. Okay. Holly's coming on. She will be here.
Yeah.
She will be here the 22nd, so don't miss that date. This is what she said. I remember interviewing her once before, and I really like it. She goes, here's her private message to me, and I'll put it in her voice. Brian, yes, Holly, I'm grateful to be on your show for the second time. Ooh, thank you. So she's coming on. She's going to talk about what is shamanism. Shamanism is a worldwide shared healing spiritual legacy. Aren't shamans in Peru? We're going to talk about these things. I'm not going to go more in detail, but we're going to talk about shamanism and spiritual awakening and healing. It's going to be a very interesting show, and I hope you guys join us. That's the 22nd. Today is the 19th, 21, 22. So what is that, Thursday? Today is Tuesday, 19, 21. Friday. I guess it's Friday's show.
Friday,
Well, that'd be a good Friday show. So don't miss it. We're giving away more money. We're up to $10,000. We got a lot of winners if you haven't called in.
Oh, right, Pat?
Yeah, look at that. Wow. Hey, you know, how much is that Mega Millions? Is it 800 and something? How much is it? Do you guys have the lottery where you are, Pat?
No, we have a different one. We have a different one. Yeah.
And how about you, Robin? Do you
not
play the
Alabama.
Lottery?
Every state around us has the lottery, but not Alabama.
Really?
Yep.
Because right now I think it's up to 800 something million. Let me check this out. Let me see what we got here. See if I should play it. It's a Powerball. It's up to $875 million. Wow. That's almost how much Trump has to pay to that girl he raped. Wow. Okay, forget it.
Yep.
So, it's
and
today,
you know what?
Tuesday.
You know, my luck put someone like him be the one to win the lottery.
Right.
But money
follows
money.
I'll tell you what, girls. If you give me your numbers, I will play it, and if you win, we split it. Is that a deal? Is that a deal? Seriously, is that a deal? So by the end of the show, you give me six. You give me six numbers, and I will put it to you, and you can check it too because I'll show you the winner. And if we win, we split it 50-50. Right, Pat? Right, Robin? Is that good? Is that cool?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. Okay. I'm not going to turn it down.
Okay, well, it says here, 800, I'm not kidding you, it's up to, $687 million today. You got to get your tickets right now. What it says Wednesday, March, that's tomorrow? I thought it was today. Oh, no, 875. Oh, the 687 million is tomorrow. Tonight is the $875 million. $875 million. That's tonight. That's tonight. By the end of the show, where you guys give me your six numbers, and I will play it along with mine. And if you win, we'll split it. Robin going to open up a Cash App, and so do you. So do you, Pat. Get a Cash App, and I'll send you your share of the money, about $300.
$300, yeah.
I didn't really. I'm bad at math. No, I'm only kidding. Half of it. Half of it. By the end of the show, I want to have your numbers, please. Thank you so much. See what happens? What a treat. You never know what's going to happen. You come to Brian's show and you didn't know you had a gambling problem. See what I do? You're welcome. You're welcome.
Hi, I know I can recognize a gambling problem. My mother had one, so.
Did she?
Did she? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That woman would bet on anything.
Wow. I kind of do that. I bet on March Madness this year. I kind of bet in the games. I'll be honest. I kind of bet in the games. All right, so a sex star.
He always had
here's
a bookie.
Does she really?
From the time I can remember. Yeah, out of state.
Wow.
Every time
wow.
Before a game,
I always
got to call my bookie. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
What I hear.
She is old school. Because now it's like bookies are, I guess online betting put that out of business with the bookies, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah, well, I mean, she's, of course, not gambling anymore. She's dead, but that was what she did, yeah.
When did she die?
7 years ago.
Well, do you think she'll come back?
No.
You want to bet?
I know where he is, that one. Actually, she's planted right up the road from me, so I know she's probably not coming back. In fact, the cemetery that we live next to, that our property is up against, is the same cemetery she's in. It's just a different
part. Well, you know what? There's an old saying that you get in your car, right? And Pat can almost back me up on this. You get in your car, and if you drive through a cemetery, some of the ghosts can hop along with you and get in the car with you and follow you home. Am I right, Pat? Isn't that an old wise tale? Right?
Well, it's an old wise tale. I don't know if it's true.
Well, we live next to a cemetery, and I thought people were crazy when they said, crows hang around cemeteries. And
right.
I thought people were crazy until, I'm not kidding, there's always crows out here. Always.
Wow. Wow.
I heard one just a few minutes ago flying over, calling. Mm-hmm.
We got ravens
like
over here in California.
Like a murder of crows.
Yes, the murder of crows. We got
right
a lot
now.
Of them. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, crows are we got ravens. We got, that's like three times the size of a crow. Yeah. Those motherfuckers.
Yeah.
But we got them on our lawn and everything. They're ravens. And they're smart sons of bitches. You know, crows are very smart. Read up on crows. Do you know when a crow dies? They are very smart. Do you know when a crow dies, they have a funeral for the crow?
Yeah.
They will fly around. And I'll tell you how, and if never, I learned my lesson. I swear to God, this is not a lie. I learned my lesson, never throw a rock at a crow. They will remember you.
Oh, good Lord, no. They remember you, yes.
They will.
They'll come after you.
They do. I was like, so I decided to throw a rock at this crow. He wakes me up in the morning. I know who you are. And he threw a rock at him. And I was with my girlfriend first, and I was with her in the apartment. And so I stepped out, and you hear these crows. I go back, and then I went back in the apartment. I said, "Sweetheart, I think there's something wrong." She goes, "What's going on?" I think the crows are mad at me. She goes, "Don't be ridiculous." I go, "I'm not ridiculous. They're mad at me. Go step out." She stepped out. Nothing. What's going on? There's nothing. Nothing. And I go, "Move a little further." I go, "Twirl around a little bit." Nothing. She thought I was crazy. I go, "Okay." She went to make coffee. I kind of put my head out. Just stick my head out. And put my head. True story. get my head
too
out.
Funny.
And they
remember
faces.
Yeah.
They can tell the difference between people, their faces. They have facial recognition.
Yes, they do.
Because I knew someone that put on a mask one time and would go, you know, for his garden, run him out of the garden, and he'd wear this mask because he didn't want to get flogged every time he went out
wow.
to pick a vegetable.
Yeah?
Yes, they would, because they would recognize him and go after him.
Yeah,
but
they
when
do.
When he was out there running them off, he'd wear a mask.
You wear a mask.
Okay,
the code recognize that mask. Oh, my
God. Well, he would only wear the mask out there when he was chasing them off. So that
you
was,
gave me
you
a
know,
good idea.
But see, when he went out without the mask on and he wasn't, you know, aggressive towards them, they left him alone. They did. So it's like they
Robbie,
knew
gave...
his face.
Mm-hmm. Robin, you gave me a good idea. I'm going to make a mask of my ex-girlfriend and go kick a crow. Let her go to her house. There she is. Wow. There she is.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, boy. Get her, crows. One crow to another. That's what it is. Sex-starved marriage.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go again, part two. I didn't like part one because I'm going to go into a little bit more. And later in the studio, the ladies, and anybody else from the morning crew want to come in and get in on this action, give me your numbers and we'll get in on this action. You know what I'm saying? So right now, Pat's in the action, and we got Robin doing some action here. There's action going on here. I can hear Blog Talk now. I told you, Mr. Jackson, no cussing, no swearing, no bullying, and no gambling. Shut up. Shut up, Blog Talk. Shut up. That's my whole show. Here we go. The sex-starved marriage, here we go. These are people, sexless marriage. There are people in this world living in a sexless marriage. We went through this yesterday. Now, before I play this, and the reason I'm playing this is because I don't usually say it, and I don't want to say it. It can't come out of my mouth. I really do say it. But I was diagnosed with cancer, and I had my... my gland, help me out, prostate removed.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's not uncommon for, and I looked at one out of eight men will be diagnosed, and if you're African-American, it's like one out of four will be diagnosed with prostate cancer. It happens to guys. Now, they tell you all this shit about it, you know. And how this happened, and I'll tell you, I'm taking you to the journey. So it's like, what are the signs? And that's the first thing guys want to ask, what are the signs so I can look for the signs? Well, I'm going to tell you something. Here was a sign. One time I was doing the laundry, and I had, what is that thing that you spin around in the room that the room is spinning? What do you call it? Help me out. Your room is spinning all the time. What is that called, ladies? You have
the fan?
No.
You
you're spinning.
Vertigo?
It felt like your head. You're spinning around.
Yeah, vertigo.
What is it?
Vertigo.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
So I was doing it long. I don't know what the hell I got out. It hit me out of no reason, and it was spinning. I was spinning and knocked me to the ground. It was vertigo. Knocked me to the ground. It was spinning so fast. Made me nauseous. So for two or three days, I was really cautious. I walked really slow. I didn't want to do quick movements because I did not want that to happen. So I went to the internet and I found out, hang in with me. I'm going to tell you about sexless marriage. Just give me to take the road with me. So I found out on the internet an exercise that will get rid of the vertigo, and it did. I did the exercise. But I wasn't quite sure. I'm one of these people that I don't want to live in fear, and I was living in the fear that it could happen to me any time. What happened to happen to me driving, blah, 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 on a plane, blah, 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 blah. So I had to test it out. I said, okay, sweetheart, I need you. She goes, what? I said, I don't want to have vertigo. She goes, okay. I said, okay, pull down your panties. We're going to take care of this business right now. She goes, what are you talking about? I said, because I figured if I move and I do weird positions, I want to test to see if I have vertigo. Honey, I want to do this experiment. That's all. So we had sex. And it was, and of course she got to a point where, I can't do this anymore. I go, well, that didn't do the vertigo. Let's try this. She goes, I can't do this anymore. I go, well, that didn't come with the vertigo. Let's try it. She goes, enough with you. I go, okay, fine. It was a medical experiment. That's what you get for science. So I was convinced. But the meaning of the story is we went for a long period of time, and I was a flagpole that the flagpole did not die. I'm still running around going, what else can I fuck? So after that, those were the good old days. So one day, and it was like a year ago, 2 years ago, we're having a romantic evening. We're watching porn together. Thank you. And then she gave me that look like, honey. And I gave her the look like, lunch, because I'm going to eat you. So in a romantic way, hello. So we got at it, right? Because it's as amazing as I am, and I'm in the Sex Hall of Fame. Thank you. I want to thank everybody who voted for me. As amazing as I am, I noticed something.
A new one for me.
Exactly. Hello. And I noticed something. I was, how do you say, hard, but not as hard as I used to be. It's like, something is going on here. I said, honey, she goes, you're going to the doctor. We're not going to do this again. All right, fine. No more scientific experiments. We'll go to the doctor. And I was not prepared for what this doctor is going to do. And he, swear to God, he did not tell me. I swear to Jesus, he did not tell me. He said, come on in, Mr. Jackson. I go, okay. Yes, you know what he did.
He got a
glove
finger up the... Mm-hmm.
Yes, he did. And he did not, swear to God, he did not tell me.
Boy,
he says, I swear to God, he goes... Exactly. He goes, your blood pressure is normal. Thank you. And this is normal. Thank you. Would you mind pulling down your pants? I go, what? What? Why do I have to pull that? I swear to God, he didn't tell me. I just want to give you a physical. Okay, that means he's going to touch my balls and I have to cough. Okay, I can deal with that. So my pants is down to my ankle and my bits and pieces were dangling out. It's got to get cold in there. Woo!
He gave you a proctor exam.
Exactly. He didn't tell me. He says, turn around on the table. I go, what? I'm looking at him over my shoulder like, what are you going to do, doc? He goes, don't worry. Just turn on go around the table and just relax. I go, okay, this is a weird examining my groin. This is weird. All of a sudden, a finger went right up there like, I was like, woo, 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 woo. I go, wait a minute, doc. And
so you stand
said
on
this.
Your
he goes,
toes. That's my question.
He did. He put it up there. But this is what happened. My ass clenched this. My ass felt that this is a male finger, and this is not going to happen to me. I heard the stories. So my ass clenched that finger. And the doctor says, let go. Relax, relax. I go, no, get it out.
Yeah.
He goes, I can't get it out. Relax, relax, relax. I go, what do you mean relax? And he finally pulled it out. He goes, whew. I go, that's what you get. I'll break it off.
Yeah, I had a doctor do that to me one time, and I'm not kidding. My sphincter drew up like a snail.
Wow.
I
know.
At least
give me a
table.
I know. I don't even know if he lewd me. I to be honest with you, I don't remember any gel back there. I think he just went cold cutting. I think he just went bear hunting. I don't think he lewd me. He didn't kiss me on my shoulder. He didn't even give me a drink. I don't know what the fuck is wrong with his manners. I don't know what happened there.
You got probed.
I got probed. I got bear probed.
You got probed.
I did. I felt humiliated because I screamed like a girl and they could hear me in the front office. Ah!
Everybody does.
Grown-ass man.
They do.
It was like, oh my God. It's almost like Michael Jackson. So going there to the go. So you're thinking the travels, you find out you have it, and then they don't tell you everything. So you go through all this stuff and you get to the end, and then they said, okay, but this is the treatment we're going to do. And then they tell you, and then meanwhile, you get surgery, right? And meanwhile, your tallywacky is not tallywacking at all. And then they explain to you what is going on. And they explain to you that it's temporary, but they do explain to you. Now, and the reason we're doing this is because it's temporary. But there's a lot of conditions that people are in a sexless relationship. I am telling you that. And as you get older, and I don't mean just older. Older could be other reasons. Medications could be. I started realizing that now, you know, after my surgery, and they give you blood pressure medicine or pain pills, whatever, I start to look. My first thing is to go on the internet and look at the side effects of each medication. Mm-hmm. People don't do this. Because I don't know why I'm irritable, honey. I don't know why I'm screaming at anybody. I don't know why I'm barking at the moon and when the full moon at night and I grow hair on my back. I have no idea. I have no idea. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Must be the blood pressure medicine again. So you got to get the side effects.
This is some, right? I mean, that can make you have some crazy side effects.
They do. They do. I mean, I'll tell you, I swear to God, this is true story.
When Ryan doesn't take his, when he forgets his blood pressure medicine because he's irritable and he snaps at me, and I'll ask him, did you take your medicine? And then he'll think about, wait a minute, I didn't, you know, and then he'll go take it. You know, he's better after that. But, of course, he would not say, oh, thank you for reminding me. Or, sorry, I snapped at you. But, yeah.
Exactly.
Like, wait a minute. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Gotta go do that.
Sometimes you just don't know. I mean, I could do a HIPAA thing with the medical thing. So, I said, doc, I went in for my physical. And, by the way, they did every freaking test on me, and I came out with flying colors. But the doctor said, Mr. Jackson, I go, yeah, are you smoking? I go, yeah, in fact, I'm smoking in your office right now. No, I'm not kidding. Yes, I am smoking. He goes, do you want to quit? I go, yeah, I want to quit. I'm going to write you a prescription. This is a true story. This is a pill that I'm going to write, and you can get it. It'll make you stop smoking, but you got to be ready to quit. I go, okay, doc, yeah, I'm ready to quit. I'm ready to quit. Fine. So I'm taking the pill. True. This is all true. And then all of a sudden, I'm taking the pill for like 2 weeks, and all of a sudden I'm at a light. And it's a big, big intersection.
Yeah,
and I had
like
this I had this urge to floor my car and crash, just go across and crash. I just wanted to do it. I wanted to floor my car across that intersection and crash. That's it.
I had a medication that made me feel like doing crazy.
Did you do that? Right.
I never did that, but I mean, I've had some medications that made me feel like doing those, you know, something very impulsive like that. And I quit taking it.
Exactly. But they don't tell you. I mean, I didn't know this. So I had shame. And I told my girlfriend, she goes, what are you talking about? Because she didn't tell her either. I go, I just wanted to drive my car off a cliff or drive there. She goes, why are you suicidal? I go, well, I used to be, but I thought I got over that. But it's an impulse. I mean, it took all my strength to put my car 2 feet on the brake. It was so conscious that I actually had to hold and grip the wheel and put 2 feet on it. So this went on, and I went to see my doctor. And he said, well, how are you doing? I go, I'm doing fine. He goes, okay, your blood pressure is 121 over 80 is perfect. I go, okay, you look good and everything. And then he says, are you still on this this cigarette thing, thing? I go, yeah, I kick it, you know, once a day for all this time. He goes, okay, you seem to be okay. Then he asks, can I ask you a question? Sure. Are you having suicidal thoughts? I'm going, what? Are you having suicidal thoughts? I go, oh, my God, I thought I was going crazy. Yes. He goes, no, that's a side effect of this medication. If you're depressed, it'll give you suicidal tendencies. And I didn't know that.
Yes.
Yeah, I did not know
that. A lot of them will. I've had medications that did that. And they put me on Lyrica for my pain, and I tell you, that made me go. I could not see. I went completely blind. My vision was so blurry, even with contacts, I could not make out people's faces if they were, right in front of me. And I got so disoriented, I couldn't even just ride around town, like where I grew up in the same area. I was so disoriented. I got off on different roads. It took a week to get that shit out of my system. But I'm like, anybody who wants to take that is crazy.
You got to look at your side effects. At one time, I thought, well, maybe I'll take Cialis. Maybe I need a little help. They said, no, you're not healed yet from your surgery. I go, well, it can't hurt. And then I went to the pharmacist. They go, we need to talk to you. I go, oh, shit. They said,
it's
not a true story. Yeah. We're going to have a consult. They go, well, have you ever taken this before? No, I never taken it. She goes, after 4 hours, you got to do this within 4 hours. And if you have 4 hours, a hard on 4 hours, please see the emergency. I go, well, what happens after that? If I get late or something, she goes, well, after 4 hours, your penis will explode. I go, my what? She goes, yeah. She said, your penis will explode. The blood in your penis and everything, your dick will go kaboom.
Yeah.
I go, I'm not taking this. Right. I'm not taking this. Hell no, sex is not that. I'm not going around with an exploding penis. It's embarrassing. So, you got to put a line somewhere with the medication. I draw the line at exploding penises. I draw the line. You got to draw the line.
I think I would have, too.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, well, your vagina is going to explode. It's going to pop like a balloon. No, but you will have no more headaches. Forget it. That's what happened. So what I'm trying to say is, so it's been 2 years. It's been a long, we broke that cycle, but I didn't realize I was out that long. I didn't realize that I was away that long. And my girlfriend just said, it's been like a year. I just celebrated a year, December, that you've been out of the hospital. I go, oh, my God, the life is a blur. Now we're going in the second year and all this stuff. So the treatments that I'm going under, and I was telling you this story yesterday that this naughty place opened up and had a glory hole.
Mm-hmm.
When I was fisting this guy's wife, I didn't know the rules. And he said, stop it. Okay. I almost broke my pinky. So I thought it was strange, right? And then I go to another room, and it's these couples, right? And they're all naked and everything, and they were doing naughty. They were doing naughty. And then I'm looking at them, because I was only in the room. I was by myself. I was the only guy by myself going, oh, where should I? I don't think I just came into the wrong room. Can you guys direct me to the other room where the losers are? But I didn't say that. So I'm there. And I noticed that their wives were doing it, right? They were swapping wives, and they were swapping this, and they were swapping girlfriends. And I thought to myself, I wouldn't do it. Why do I want to do something to somebody else's wife that he doesn't want? I don't want his trash. He's just throwing, And then I didn't understand all this sexual stuff, swapping and this. And then I remember the guy with the massage thing. And why would a guy want some strangers to touch his wife? I mean, don't these people hold these women sacred? I get jealous when my girlfriend looked at somebody's butt and it wasn't mine, let alone I want somebody to touch her breasts or anything or have sex with her. And then the doctor said to me once, and he said to me, you may not be able to, if we put you on this, you may not be able to do this. Have sex. I go, you're what? Well, we have to kill the cancer. And he actually said to me, either cancer or sex, which one you want to, what you doing? You want to die or have sex? And I said, can I get back to you? He goes, come on. I go, okay.
You don't not much time to think about that.
Exactly. And so I realized, it did not happen though, but I realized there was a possibility that I may never have that again. And my girl is still young, beautiful and everything, and horny and like a toad. So, and I know all I had to me was a great dick. It's a marvelous dick, amazing dick, and I'm a great lover. Thank you. That's what I bring to the table. That's what I bring. I bring my penis. I put it on the table. There you go. Marry me. Okay, I do. That's it. And then I let my penis speak for me. So I had a talk with her. I said, this may be a possibility, this may be a possibility. And she goes, yes. I go, and they said that I may lose interest in this and this and this. She goes, yes, I was there. I said, I love you. And she goes, I love you too. I go, I can't let you do without. And I couldn't believe it. I said, if you need to be with somebody else for that physical touch, go be with somebody else for that, you know, physical touch. She goes, no, all I need for you to do is hold me and cuddle with me. We'll be fine, you know, that kind of thing. But see, I can understand it now. My point is, I can understand it. And I want to ask you ladies the same thing. And if you get a situation, and women are going through this. Right now we're doing a guy thing because I'm telling you my personal experience. Let's say you guys went to the doctor, and the doctor said to you, you know, you may need a mastectomy or a hysterectomy, whatever. Your private parts are not working, you know. They don't get lubed enough or they hurt so much, whatever. Let's just say whatever. And it hurts too much when somebody makes love to you. You just can't stand the pain. Okay, whatever it is, right? And the doctor says, I advise you not to make love anymore because something, blah, 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 blah. We're doing a hypothetical, okay? Mm-hmm. Now your husband is still young enough, you know, hi, honey, you're still sexy and this. And you can see that he wants to get close and everything. You're saying you're in the no-wet zone. It's dry as a desert and the camels are walking by it. There's no humping today. So you know that you may not be able to be with him again that way. So he's looking at you. What do you do? Do you do what I do and say, you know, I love you. I got to go through this. And if you need this in your life and you need whatever, go get it done. Because I will have no interest in that anyway. I want the rest of you. Because I want the 80% of you. That 20%, if you need to take care of it, take care of it. Would you do that, ladies? Or would you say, no sex for you because you cannot have it. You're going to be masturbating. Your arms are going to look like Popeye. So what do you do, ladies? What is your decision? I go to you, Robin. What's your decision?
Well,
what do you do?
Just because that one, that, you know, you can be intimate in other ways.
Right, you can.
And satisfy someone.
No, not really. You're going to lose your intimacy. You're gonna lose your intimacy. You're gonna lose your drive. You're not gonna be interested anymore. He's gonna come to you with a big rock boner, and you're gonna put your hat on it or your coat on it. Thank you, because it's a hat rack now. What do you do? Because you're gonna lose interest. What do you do?
Just tell him. Be honest.
Yeah. I know, but would he do? If he's giving you the option and he's very sincere to give you the option.
He's working 12 hours a day and I want to, and he's too tired. And I don't feel up to it. I'm like, okay.
I understand. I understand. I understand, but there's a possibility that you can, when there's rest or you take a vacation. This is a possibility that you can never do it again. He's still young, and he's walking around like a boner, and right now all you're doing is putting a coat as a coat rack. So what do you do? Do you tell him, listen, I have no interest in this. Go out,
get it done.
I was
being honest in
then
that.
Come
if
home.
He wanted to move on, that's more than, you know, I can understand that, but don't come crawling to me after you've crawled out of somebody else's bed at all.
But you're not interested, but you can't do it. Why not let him why can't he still have his indulgement? Because you are not interested in it.
Because
it's not like
I
you're
know
jealous.
Him, and I know that he doesn't do that just for, you know, he has to have an emotional connection.
Right, but you're telling, you're giving him the option. And he may not.
Yeah,
my girlfriend didn't want to. My girlfriend didn't want to.
Someone else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Me
okay.
Or someone else.
Okay. Okay. Okay.
And it would be the same way. You know,
right.
My
girlfriend says it's with you and everything. She goes, start getting your lips, you know, getting your mouth ready. And I just started doing tongue exercises. I started manicuring my fingernails and everything, and you know what I mean? And
you did manicure?
I sure did. I don't want to scratch her. I'm thinking about doing my feet. So what I'm saying is I talked to a friend of mine, and he's older, and he was having some kind of problem, but he didn't have the prostate. He had a prostate problem, but he didn't have surgery. So he's starting to have problems. I said, what are you going to do? I said, what are you going to do if you didn't? And I get the same scenario to him. What are you going to do? He goes, no problem, Brian. I go, what do you mean no problem? He goes, you know what lesbians do? And I go, yeah, I know what lesbians do. Well, guess what? I'm a bitch. What are you talking about? All I have to do is strap on, baby. I'm strapping on and giving it to her, the high hard one. I go, I never thought about it because lesbians live their life like that, right?
And if she needed
that.
I don't know.
Right.
I don't know what they personally do because I'm not one.
Right. But I'm just saying a lot of lesbians live as a, their lifestyle. It's like, why not? If she needed that feeling of the intercourse and me on top of her and me, that closeness, all you had to do is go to the store and strap it on, baby. Right? What's wrong with that? Women have toys. Why can't we have a man strap on? Because you usually come with one. But so I'm just saying, now that was my scenario. Well, we're usually born with one. I want to buy it. How much is that one? Well, Brian, I mean, this is a good one over there. Nope, I saw the coupon. I saw it. It was on sale. It's Black Friday. Give me the cheaper one. You know, well, this one will last about 2 minutes. That's good enough. But anyway, you don't shop for dildos. Just strap us. You get what you get. Yeah, this one goes up my ass like I'm wearing a thong and a strap on. But what I'm saying is there are different reasons. And women, you know as you get older, and married people, you know as you get married, and we can be honest, that your sex drive dissipates. It all does. There are people who may not have medical situation that they live their life, and maybe their husband, for one reason or another, have a situation. And it happens. It happens. And it's not embarrassing. It happens. And you're not the only one. Any situation you have, that anybody's listening to my voice, there's tens and thousands of people have the same situation because it's normal and it's life. So that other lady, I didn't like because she made a mockery of, you know, you can get a Ferrari and a Rolls Royce. Why go with a, you know, that's stupid shit. Shit happens. And there's a lot of people who are happy with a sexless relationship because that's not all their relationship is. It's like a single woman who's been single for 5 years. She doesn't miss it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, and like you're saying, there's things you can do. Of course, there's things you can do. Like I said, my last resort, I'll go get a strap-on if I have to, if it doesn't work. You know what I mean? I'm rocking and rolling. And I'll get different kinds of cultures to strap-on because I like to spice it up. Today, I'm going to be Asian. Tomorrow, I'm coming from the jungle. There we go. Swing on the vine, baby. And next week, I'll be Muslim, and then I go on with different culture. Okay, I'm a white guy because I have different strap-ons. There you go. Strap-on the white guy today. Okay. I am now Buffy. I can have fun with it. It hasn't got to that point, but when they were talking to me about the possibilities that it can, it became real. And I'm saying I can understand if you could talk to your girlfriend, your wife, and you say, this may not be a possibility anymore. We're not 30 anymore. We're not 19 anymore. And when she says, you know what? All I needed for you to do is hold me and cuddle with me and watch TV with me and have a sip of wine with me. That's all I need. I can do that. But, you know, but while I'm holding her and everything, I'm not going to tell her. I'm going to strap it on and going, surprise, like they did at the doctor. Let's see how that goes. So what I am saying is that, you know, if you have a sexless marriage and it could be due to complications and he or her, and it's a natural thing and you still love each other, there's a reason, and I use the word love. We went to the word love, but let me just use it for you guys, is that there's more to life than sex, and as we get older, it dissipates anyway. As long as, and there's reasons why people stay together. They don't stay together just for sex. If you stay together just for sex, you're not going to have a good relationship, and it's not going to last because sex is boring and mundane. Did you know there's like 200 positions and we only use three? It's like, it's true.
Yeah,
we have all these.
Depends who you are, Brian.
All right. Well, what are you guys saying? What are you saying? You use more than three? Really?
Oh, yeah.
What? You animals.
When you're in college, you have to adjust every aspect of your life to be accommodating, and that is no different.
What?
That is no different.
There's only three.
No,
okay, wait a minute. Let me name them. You guys tell me wrong. The number one position, doggy, woof, woof, baby. Yes or no, ladies?
Mm-mm. No.
No.
What?
Mm-mm. No.
What?
No.
What is it then? What is it?
Well, I don't really know what it's called. It's just something.
Robin, you're wild.
I don't know.
We invented our own. What is the mechanics? The guy on his back, and then you're over him, or
no,
you're on your back? And
I'm laying there with my legs, you know, and he's, you know, and I'm like, we're perpendicular. We'll put it that way. Not
perpendicular.
Parallel.
He is putting his perpendicular inside you.
Yeah.
Putting that dickler inside
you. He's laying
you.
On
there
his back, and I'm on my back. And my legs.
He's lying on. Wait a minute. He's lying on his back, and you're lying on your back?
No, I'm on my back. He's on his side.
You're on your back. You're on the back, and he's on the side. Oh!
I'm laying on my back. Yeah, he's laying on his side.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I saw that in Pornhub. Is that the good one? Because
well,
I'm thinking
well, that,
doggy
well, it's
is
very,
the go-to.
It's okay. Good if you have back problems because it's not. You don't have to do as much exertion for the same amount of stimulation, and also there's not as much physical impact, so therefore it doesn't like cause as much pain or inflammation from aggravating an already existing injury or condition.
Very good, Pat. Because I have to run the tape now because we have to talk about. I got one more tape, and I think Mr. Solutions in. Pat, what's your go-to?
Yeah.
What's your go-to? What's your mechanics?
For which?
Your position. Is your favorite position on your back, or is it doggy, or is it missionary? You don't have to describe the exact thing, but you can.
It does.
But what is your
favorite? Who is there?
It
depends. I can see Pat on her back, and then her legs are up in the air, tickling his ears. I can tickle your ears, honey.
I can
see
that. Hey, I can put my ears behind my head.
I don't know, Robin.
I can't. I can still do that. In fact, I had a picture, and I hate that I lost it because I had it on my old phone, and the thing, I dropped it, and it went to pieces, so I never got my old pictures, but I had gotten acting stupid, and I don't know how I did this. I was wearing yoga pants, and I was, my mother, this was before she had died, Ryan and I had just ordered a new bed, and they had brought it in, and I was waiting on the sheets and all to get, washed and ready to put on them, so I was on the bed acting stupid, and I don't know how I did it, but I got this picture where it looked like my head was sticking out of my butt.
What?
And my legs. My head was poking out of my butt the way it was. I would give anything to have that picture nobody could keep a straight face with that.
You know, Robin, you're the only one in this world that anal became a blowjob. You're the only one. Oh, my God.
But it was just the way I was. It was like, okay, I'm going to roll around here and act stupid just to, make Mother laugh, send her pictures, and then it looks like someone's sitting on a toilet and their head's coming out their butt.
Oh, my God.
But I had pants on. I had pants on, so it wasn't he like that.
See, that's,
it was funny. It was just funny.
That would be funny. That is something new, mm-hmm. and I thought I saw everything. Look, honey, her mm-hmm. head coming out of her butt. Okay. So here it is, Sex Starved Marriage. We won't play all of it. It may get close to when we say goodbye live. We're going to have a little bit of conversation in what we call after live, meaning podcast. But if you want to come in and listen to this, because it's going to probably go into podcast, the number is 319-527-6099, 319-527-6099. We may have a little discussion afterwards, just a little discussion. Here we go. This is a woman says, let's give it a go again, The Sex Starved Marriage. This is by Michelle Davis. I hope it's not the same bitch. The other one was a bitch. You guys got to admit, and I was so mm-hmm. proud of you. She was a bitch, wasn't she? She was a bitch.
Oh, yeah.
She was a bitch.
Yeah, she was a twist. Something was up with her.
Yes. Well, here we go, kids. Here we go. Let's see if we got something good here. Let's see if we got something good here. This is called A Sex Starved Marriage. And some people are living that. And here's how this woman. Okay, this is a different woman. Here she is.
To be more precise.
I'm going to mute everybody, but I'll come back to you. Don't leave. I'll come back to you.
So I'm going to talk to you about sex. To be more precise, the sex-starved marriage. And when I'm done, you'll know three things that you can do to prevent it from happening in your life. So first I'd like to tell you a story. For the last three decades, I've been specializing in work with 911 couples who are truly teetering on the brink of divorce. I resuscitate flatlined relationships. I try to teach couples what they need to know to resolve their differences and fall back in love and put their kids in bed at night together. It's not an easy job, but I didn't choose my career. My career chose me. You see, I grew up in an incredible family, two loving parents who never fought, two great brothers, a large extended family with whom we spent every weekend and all of our holidays, until one fateful day, I was 16 years old and a senior in high school, and my mom called us all in for a family meeting, and she proceeded to tell us that she'd been miserable for 23 years in her marriage, and she was getting a divorce from my father. No one saw it coming. I told you, my parents never fought. I remember the feeling of blood rushing from my body, thinking, how could this be happening? I'm leaving home, and my nest is falling apart. And that's precisely what happened. Divorce not only ends a marriage, it dissolves a family. And the sadness about the breakup of my family still lingers today. That's because divorce is forever. Now, my parents' divorce affected me in a number of ways. First, it made me incredibly impassioned about learning everything I possibly could about how to have a healthy, loving, lasting relationship so I could apply it in my own life with my own family and my own marriage. And I'm very proud to say that one of my biggest accomplishments is my nearly 40-year marriage to my husband, Jim. And if you knew him, you'd know what an accomplishment this really is. The other thing my parents' divorce made me do is be incredibly impassioned about teaching what I know to anyone who crosses my path. Now, when I say that, I really mean that. I'm not just talking about the couples in my practice. I do some of my best work on airplanes or online at Whole Foods. Or as a matter of fact, that's why I'm here right now. I want to warn you about the inevitable pitfalls of a sex-starved marriage. But what is that? So, a sex-starved marriage is one where one spouse is desperately longing for more touch, more physical closeness, more sex, more physical affection, and the other spouse is thinking, what is the big deal? Would you just get a life? It's just sex. But to the spouse yearning for more sex and more touch, it's a huge deal because it really is about feeling wanted, about feeling loved, about feeling connected, about feeling masculine or feminine and attractive. And when this major disconnect happens, what also happens is that intimacy on all levels goes right out the door. They stop sitting next to each other on the couch. They quit laughing at each other's jokes. They don't spend time together. They stop being friends. And it places the marriage at risk of infidelity and divorce. Now, some of the reasons that people have low desire or an insatiable appetite for sex are very complicated and deep-seated. But I'm happy to tell you that the primary cause for a sex-starved marriage is also the simplest to solve. And before I explain that solution, I really want to go on record for saying that if you're sitting here thinking low sexual desire is a woman's issue, I want you to think again. Women do not have a corner on the low libido market. I'm convinced that low desire in men is one of our very best-kept secrets. Now, having said that, I want to also tell you about a little talked-about fact, and that is when it comes to a sex-starved marriage, the person with lower sex drive controls the sexual relationship. Now, when I say that, I don't mean that this person is intentionally mean-spirited or unkind or manipulative. I just mean if that person isn't interested in sex, the partner may as well go take a cold shower because it's not going to happen. Now, I find this really curious on a couple of counts because when we think about how decisions are made in marriage, we generally think about mutuality. Two people decide when to get married, whether to have kids, how to raise those kids, what to do about the finances, the in-laws, who's going to do what around the house. But conspicuously missing from that mix is anything having to do with sex. What's it like, the nature, the quality, the quantity? I find this incredible. I know couples who have been married for 20 to 30 years who have never spoken about sex. The other thing that's really amazing to me about this unilateral decision-making is one person decides no sex and expects the partner to accept it, not complain about it, and oh yes, you have to be monogamous. Now, this is an unworkable arrangement. Let me tell you about a couple in my practice. So meet John and Mary. They've been married for 15 years, and John's a real laid-back kind of guy, and he doesn't like to complain about much, except in the last 15 minutes of my session with him, he finally gets up the courage to tell me about something that has been bothering him for a long, long time, that there really is only a two-hour window of opportunity on Friday nights between 10 and 12 where Mary might be interested in sex, and he knows not to bother her at any other time. Like you, laughing, I glanced over at Mary, and Mary was chuckling because she recognized herself in that description. John wasn't laughing. He wasn't smiling. And so I said to him, John, what's this been like for you? And he said to me, I want to talk to Mary. He turned to her, took a deep breath. He said, when I reach out to you in bed and you're not there for me, the only thing I ever think about, are you attracted to me anymore? Do you love me like I love you? Do you want to be with me? And then when you go to sleep and I'm lying next to you and staring up at the ceiling, all I can think about is this is the loneliest feeling in the world, lying next to you in bed. And to Mary's credit, her eyes filled up with tears, and she reached out and grabbed John's hands, and she said, John, I have to tell you, in all the years we've been married, I never, not once, have thought about what it's like to be you. I only think about, am I in the mood? Am I not in the mood? I am so, so sorry. I'll do better. John began to cry. I began to cry. For me, it was a magical moment because it was the first time in the history of their marriage that Mary was stretching outside her comfort zone to try to understand John's pain, his loneliness, his alienation, his need to connect with her. And she promised she would do better. It was a beginning of a breakthrough for them. Unfortunately, for so many couples, it doesn't work that way. In fact, very often, the very thing that couples do to deal with a sex-starved marriage actually makes things worse. Let me give you an example. So he says, honey, do you want to put the kids to bed early tonight, have a glass of wine, and fool around? And she says, I have so much on my mind, I'm not relaxed, and I have a headache. You were the one to tell me last week that women are great multitaskers. Can't you have a headache and sex at the same time? I don't think you're funny. Furthermore, what part of no don't you get? Look, I'm not trying to be funny. I'm furious. We haven't had sex in 6 weeks. I hate this relationship. It's just not working. You raise your voice and you talk to me like that, and then you expect me to want to touch you. Plus, do you realize for the last 2 or 3 weeks you haven't been home at all? And when you are home, you don't talk to me. We don't do things together. You're angry and you're withdrawn. I am not going to have sex with you like that. I don't want to talk to you anymore. I'm out of here. So, what's going on here? I'll tell you what's going on. In the early stages of dealing with a sex-starved marriage, the person with higher desire usually approaches his or her spouse with open-heartedness and vulnerability, saying things like, I miss you, I want to have sex with you. But when those pleas for connection are met with unresponsiveness, like they often are, then that vulnerability quickly turns into anger and contempt. Anger is not an aphrodisiac. Anger leads to sexual withdrawal. Sexual withdrawal leads to heightened anger. Heightened anger leads to sexual anorexia, and on and on. And then both people wait for the other person to change. And that's how marriages go down the drain. So what are they supposed to do? Well, here's what they're supposed to do. He needs to get a grip on his anger, regardless of whether he feels shortchanged or not. Apparently, he needs to spend time with her and talk to her and be present in her life. He needs to recognize that it's those things that will turn her on. And what does she need to do? Well, despite her feelings, she needs to adopt the Nike philosophy and just do it. Why? For two reasons. The first is obvious. He'll be happy. He'll be nicer. He'll be more present. Mostly he'll be more grateful. But there's another reason. It has nothing to do with him, and it's all about her. Look, I wish I had a dollar for each time someone in my practice said to me, Michelle, I wasn't in the mood for sex when my partner approached me, but once we got into it, I had a really good time. I had a great orgasm. We enjoyed each other. And then afterwards, we had the best conversation that we've had in months. And when I described that scenario to a couple in my practice, the husband said, yikes, that's my wife. I wish she would just write on her hand, I like sex, so she remembers it for the next time. So look, there's actually some science to this. I saw this so often in my practice that I started scouring the research, and I bumped into the work of Dr. Rosemary Bassin, and she took the mystery out of my observations. So the human sexual response cycle is considered to have four stages. The first is desire, and this means that you could be doing just about anything, taking a walk, studying for a test, preparing a meal, talking to a friend, and all of a sudden you have this random lusty thought and you start fantasizing about sex. Second stage is arousal. You get with your partner, you get physically aroused, and you feel that sensation inside. The third stage stage, orgasm. Do you need an explanation? Fourth stage, resolution. Your body goes back to its normal resting state. Well, apparently, according to Dr. Basson's research, for millions of people, stages one, desire, and two, arousal, are actually reversed. That their bodies have to be physically stimulated and aroused in order for their brains to register there is desire. The desire is there, but it's not the compelling force to initiate sex. So, if this sounds like you or a friend of a friend, it behooves you to be receptive to your partner's advances even from a neutral starting place, because once you get into it, you're bound to remember, I like sex.
Okay, we're running out of time. I want to talk to you a little bit about that. I see your hand up, and I'm going to come to you. Let me talk to you. I'll talk to you guys like a man. See, you women, you talk to women. You know your bodies and everything. Men do not know your bodies, and sometimes you guys do not communicate enough to us or to a where we understand. I get it from my girlfriend. I already told you that. What? Yeah, I told you that. What? You don't listen to me, huh? Now let me touch your boobie. That happens all the time. And the old additive, and it's true in science, if you don't use it, you will lose it. And that goes for men and that goes for women. If you don't use it, you will lose it. It's true. There's a study. I think Mr. Solution brought this up, and I already know about it. And I didn't know about it until I went to the doctor. And the doctor says, Brian. I go, yeah, Brian. I said, what? Brian, what, doc? How often do you masturbate? Well, doc, I think that's private. He goes, no, it's a medical fact. How often do you masturbate? I go, I see there's Pornhub and there's this, and I got some women, some porn girls in my email, and they want to build me on Facebook. I got some pictures. Maybe twice a month. He goes, you need to pop those numbers up. Because for a man over 40, 45, they must masturbate at least, is it 5 times a week to be healthy? 4 to 5 times a week to be healthy. We're not talking having sex. We're not talking about having sex. We're talking about masturbation. You can still have, the sex doesn't count. The sex doesn't, they're talking about masturbation. They're talking about masturbation. Apparently, I don't know why it cannot be sex with someone, but they said masturbate. And I don't know if you're working the muscles or whatever. That's very interesting. You can look it up. It's true. It's true. You use it or lose it. It's a true thing. Another thing about my girl. Let me tell you something. And she's the smartest woman in the world. The smartest woman in the world. She knows what's up. One time we're at I'll get to you guys. I see you. One time we're at a dinner, and everybody's saying how handsome their boyfriend is and how he's a great lover. It was like 3 or 4 other couples in with us. And how what a great lover he is and how wonderful he is. And I'm hearing this, and I'm looking at my girlfriend, but on my side, I'm going, okay, jump in. I mean, I'm saying in my head, jump in. She didn't say nothing. I was pissed. True story. Okay, I had an attitude in the car, and I go, she goes, why are you mad? I go, they were saying good things. Aren't you happy? She goes, yeah, I'm great. I go, well, do you like my success? I think you're wonderful. And I'm pissed. I'm going, this is all true. I'm going, well, why didn't you jump in and say how wonderful and amazing I am? And this advice, she's so smart. She says, why am I going to tell another woman how wonderful you are? I don't want them to know what a great guy you are. Why am I going to tell another woman that you're fabulous in bed? I don't want them to know that. And I looked at her and I smiled going, you are one smart lady. You are one smart lady. Yes, and I opened up the phone. There you go, Robin, and there you go. Well, 111, if you're going to put your hand back up, you can. I'll put you back in the mute. There you go. And then she does something else that's smart, and women don't realize it. Men are very easy. They will go to another person before they leave you. But she does something else that is ingenious. And what it is that she will make sure to please her man. She will. If a man, if she, her hair could be in rollers, and I go, hey, I like those rollers. All right, honey, let me take off my panties. Oh, yeah. Oh, I like the beauty shop. Oh, look at the rollers. Oh, I like the curls. You know. But she knows that she does, she will take care of her man. Doesn't matter when, doesn't matter where. Man, I mean, sometimes, you know, she's not a toy. It's like, and then, but then she'll compromise. Baby, it's 1 o'clock in the morning. Yeah. Do you hear me knocking? Baby, put it away. What do you mean? That's maybe tomorrow I have to sleep. She goes, go look at Pornhub. Okay. Yank, 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 yank. Thank you, baby. No problem. Where's the tissue? So sometimes there is a compromise. There's a compromise in it. But she doesn't starve her man. She doesn't have an attitude towards it. She doesn't do this. She's not always available, but she will make sure that she will be.
Mm-hmm.
And I do the same for her. Not a one-sided thing. Mm-hmm. She could go, honey, I go, you know I need some time for this. Let's go get some weed. No, I don't mean that. Mm-hmm. Do you want to do the dishes? Oh, okay. But...
That is Ryan.
There's
he wants
time.
To do the dishes.
Exactly. Go get the weed and the cocaine. No. I'm just saying. There's been times it's like, okay. You know, there's times where men just, you know, women, there's times the men just want to fuck. There's just time, and we're fuckers. Sometimes we don't want to, all that holding and the loving and this and not. No, sometimes we just want to go in, pop in into the store. It's like a 7-Eleven. Ding dong, let me have a Slurpee, and I'm out. Because one time, my girlfriend likes to, and she goes, and I don't like this, but she does it, I know. It's like we have to plan for it like 3 hours in advance. Honey, it's 3 o'clock, and I might want to make love to you at 9. Okay, I'm getting in the shower at 7. I'm putting on the makeup at 8. I go, oh, you're taking the fun out of it. All right, well, you know how it is, and it's never a pop-up, right? It's never just, let's do it. Yeah. You just want to get in and get out. Sometimes you want to slap that ass, pull that hair, and then you use her as a tissue and say, goodbye. I'll see you tomorrow, same time. Sometimes you just want to fuck. And there's nothing wrong with it, honey. And she'll even ask me, when they look in my eyes and they're crazy looks, she goes, uh-oh, you got the fucking eyes. I'm like a dog. She knows. I'm howling at the moon. I was just going, ooh, I'm howling at the moon. And then sometimes they're romantic. She goes, oh, you're cooking dinner. I go, that's right. And you have your silk robe on. That's right. And Barry White's playing, hello, baby. What you want to do? Then I get romantic. But either way, you could be available, and if you're not compromised to be available, and then you'll have a great, and I'm saying you have a good relationship. Do you ladies agree or not agree?
I agree.
But sometimes you got to prepare for the fucking. Honey, it's a fuck night. Okay. Sometimes you got to prepare. And that's not bad. And sometimes it'll be reversed, too. Honey, I don't want you to hold me and everything. My legs are open. Put your face in there and eat like you've been starving on an island. Okay. Slurp, 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 slurp.
I don't think I've ever quite put it that way, but...
Okay, yeah, exactly.
I don't think I...
Thank you. Now go wipe your face. Okay. You know how I do it. Oh, boy.
Oh.
I want to thank... Now go wipe your face. Okay. It's embarrassing when you try to wipe your face and you forget you got the tissue stuck in your forehead. Do I look better now? She goes, you look like an idiot. True story. I'm going to open up 111 because you open up your hand, then you close your hand. 111, you're live on the air. We only got like 2 minutes. You had your hand raised, and then you quit your hand raised. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to come to you. 111. Okay. Then you're not there.
Then oh, yeah. I made it back, Brian.
Okay. Hey, welcome back, Mr. Solution. Mr. Solution, we got Robin and we got Pat in the studio. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, ladies. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. And just a couple of things. I'm on one of my death missions.
Mm-hmm.
Look here. What you said, sex counts. In other words, it's mm-hmm. the emptying of the testes because sperm has been determined to be carcinogenic. So
right.
getting the sperm out is very healthy for men. I think I told you about this incident once. A lot of men, when they get in relationships, they become yes men or they're married. And this one doctor, he was being interviewed, and a guy had to get a note from his doctor to give to his wife to have sex. In other words, it's from the authority of the doctor. I thought that was hilarious, but it's also a bit pathetic, and it shows how whipped, literally, many men are when they're in marriages. But, you know, you're making a lot of good points. One of the things you said, there's an old additive. No, that's adage. I believe that's adage. But
yeah.
Anyway, that's a Brianism. Just count that up to being a Brianism. But, yeah, basically what you've been saying is it's spot on. It's very good. Now, I think you were being a little bit crude when you were saying, but that's you, though. You were saying, and you did not give your warning to children when you're talking about all of this lurid behavior.
Where do you think I learned
behavior,
it from?
But,
I learned it from the children.
Kids know more about
exactly
than we do now.
They know more than anything.
Well, look, ladies and gentlemen, let's be a little bit hypocritical about that and give the children a chance to, you know, develop without I understand what you're saying, but you're being a little bit hyperbolic. I don't know if kids know as much as you're talking about here, or should know, let's put it that way. But at any rate, we should teach them about sex. I mean, kids are sexual at a very early age. And going back to my psychology classes, child psychology classes, and they used to do brutal things that they can't do today. For example, they would put gloves on kids' hands to keep them from masturbating. And, of course, you remember the old thing about if you masturbate, your hair will fall out, your eyes will fall out. But and another thing that parents do unwittingly is they present sex to both genders as nasty. You know, don't touch yourself
right.
there. Oh, that's nasty. And they scare
right.
the living dickens out of kids, and they create psychological barriers with respect to sex. Most of us need to be on the therapist's couch, you know, to get over some of the things that we've experienced. But basically what you're saying is good. I approve. Except give the warning to the kids.
I will also give the warning to some sheepish adults too. I will give the warning. Thank you, Mr. Solution.
You're welcome.
You know, and you're right, Mr. Solution, and you're right. And if you – I'm not a person for marriage counseling. I'm not. But we all have – just remember, we all had some kind of trauma when we were kids, when we had our first love and our first breakup or our first – somebody first cheated on us. You know, as we go through life, we – those are traumas that can really hinder yourself within trust or even opening yourself up to new things. And if you have some kind of trauma, you should talk about it with your spouse and not a stranger at her office. And I know it's hard to talk to your spouse. It's not easy, but that's the one who's going to do you, not the doctor, the one who's going to do you. And have that talk. And I think the other thing is recognizing the limitations of your partner. because, I mean, they suffer, whether women or men, they suffer in silence, believe it or not, and they live in shame, and they live in a shadow, or they wish they can, and it could demasculate a man. It can. And it can almost de-womanize a woman, that she's not as horny as she is anymore. She's not as wet as she gets anymore. She needs a lot of lubricants. She has to go to the toy store because there's a Black Friday sale, and that vibrator is going to be 50% off, and you got to be the first in line to get it. Because toys are a wonderful thing. And there's a reason why it's a billion-dollar business. It's a wonderful thing. And men, do not be afraid of being witty for her buzz. It's a toy story. And you can enjoy the, because sex is only like 5-10 minutes of your life, but the whole experience of being with somebody, connecting with somebody, can last an hour or 2 hours, or even rock your ass asleep. So I guess what I have learned is to be patient, to recognize people's limitation, whether you're in chronic pain and you cannot do this, or you're in pain, or you have a hip surgery, whatever, and we cannot be tussling like we're trapeze artists anymore, and that we have to feel comfortable in a position. And you got to recognize that. It doesn't matter. It does. I was out with a girl. I thought that was really weird. I was in Boston, and the only way that she can achieve an orgasm, and it's the only way she can achieve an orgasm, is if I laid on my stomach and she lays on top of me, but her back is towards me. So she's on top of me. Her back is on my front, and she's looking up at the ceiling. And the only way that she can reach an orgasm is if I had to reach under her while I'm in her and masturbate her. That's the only way she can have an orgasm. No other position she can. But she'll compromise with... What do you want to do, Brian? I want to do the reverse cowgirl or the doggy. You know, she will do that. But we could do the other thing. Now it's time to finish it, you know? And that's what you should do. Any questions, ladies? That's all I have to say. Okay.
I
mean, when we get older, we're going to have complications, and some people have. Can you imagine a paraplegic with no arms and no legs having sex? Can you imagine he can't even finger you? What are you going to do with that, the guy with no arms?
I don't know.
And there's people out there who's a paraplegic.
It's true.
There's people out there that have limbs and everything, and people, if you love somebody, you just adjust, right? We just adjust. That's
mm-hmm.
it. It's,
you figure it out.
It, you know, relationships are easy. People make them complicated. We evolved as human beings, and we adjust as men and women. If we truly want that person in our lives, guess what? We will adjust to it, and we're not missing anything. In fact, we're probably having some of the best intimacy that most people can't even fathom, am I right? I mean, if you lose your sight, then all of a sudden your taste is better. If you lose your taste, all of a sudden you see better, or your hearing is better. Our senses kick in. So maybe we lose our sex drive, but something else will kick in that can satisfy us just as much, and it could be in a form of sex. It'll kick in because human beings will adopt and they will evolve. They will. And if they love you enough, you're going to have the best experience of all of intimacy. That's all I have to say. Do you guys agree with me? Okay.
I guess.
Well, okay.
I don't see why.
Thank you.
I do.
Yeah. We all adjust. My girl has to put up with me as a dumb fuck. She has adjusted very well. shut up and just do it. Okay. No more. It's like, quit talking dirty because I ain't listening. Okay. I'm talking dirty in my mind. All right, whatever. Oh, you should have heard that joke. Forget it. But there you go. I want to thank Joshua Watkins for coming in the studio today. Joshua, thank you for coming in. Hey, what do you guys think of the interview before you go? I thought it was a good interview. I thought he opened up pretty good. What do you think?
I thought it was a good interview, too.
Yeah.
Great.
I did too. I did, like I said, I didn't know much about the person, but
At all.
Yeah. Who knew that he was a gigolo as a homeless person to couples?
Well, I don't think that that was, you know, he's real proud of that, but...
No, I mean, people are interesting. No, I don't even, I'm not trying to mock it. I'm just trying, it's interesting what people do to survive. In fact, I admire it. You know that? You do what you do to survive, and I do admire that. And he's lucky because, you know, men, he must be an attractive man that he can get out of his situation, you know, and he's a survivor, and I do admire that. But I'm just saying, who knew about this guy go through all of this in his life, you know?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Even though he wants to see me in my Superman tights, who knew? I thought it was a good interview. And Pat, thank you so much for giving him your reading and everything. That was really nice of you. Thank you. I want to say thank you.
Oh, no problem.
And Robin, thank you for inviting and finding Mr. Joshua Walker. It was a pleasure meeting him. Great interview, and I hope he liked it too.
I believe so. I think I got a message from one of his friends he mentioned.
Wow. Okay.
So I may have to. I look like I'm going to have a busy afternoon talking to people.
Well, you are pretty damn good. I got to make you look good, Robin, because you make me look good.
Well,
so I
got to
make you look good. You're welcome.
I hope so.
And Pat makes me look good, too, even though she laughs at my sexy talk. Hello, baby.
She laughs at my... We all do.
I know you all do. Look at Brian trying to be sexy. Lucky I have a good ego. Hello. I remember my first time. It was like, what a night, man. It was like late December back in 70. What a special time. Yeah, what a special time for me. As I remember, what a night.
Oh, what a night. Yeah.
Oh, what a night. It is. And you know, I'm going to leave it that way. Oh, what a night. Come on. Late December back in 63. What a very, come on, special time for me. No? Okay. Thank you, honey. Honey goes, I can name that song in three barks. Thank you, honey.
She is. I think she sings, if I'm not mistaken, that was, it wasn't a FedEx truck. It was a little early for the FedEx or the mail. Oh, yeah, that's my neighbor. He likes to drive down through here because the other neighbor, who lives at the end of the street, who owns their own house, lets people stay there, and it just drives him nuts. So he'll drive down there like it does anything, really slow, go around the circle, and then heads back.
Well, he's just letting you know he's on the job. I'm letting you know I'm on the job.
Oh, yeah, he's retired. That's the problem. He has nothing to do except for worry what the... What the people at the end of the street are up to.
Wow. Well, ladies, thank you. I'm going to leave you with this song. Thank you for coming in, and I look forward. Don't forget, it's going to be the Shaman. Pat, you're going to love the Shaman coming in Friday.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
She comes in the 21st or 22nd.
Wait. Coming in Friday. Who's coming in Friday?
Yes, Friday. What?
Holly, is it? No. Holly's coming in the 22nd. What is tomorrow? This is the... What is today?
Today's the
19th. Yeah, she's coming in Friday.
Yeah.
And Holly, she's coming in Friday. Holly is the Shaman. She's coming in Friday, the 20th.
And
she's coming in the 22nd, baby. That's in 3 days.
Mm-hmm. And she's also an artist.
And we're going to talk about...
documentary film. I mean,
yes.
She started a global 501c3 nonprofit.
Oh, did he really?
Yes, she did. I mean, she started
Artists
United herself.
Wow, it's going to be very interesting. It's a very interesting talk, and she's going to be. And I interviewed her before. She's beautiful. She's lovely, and she has a sense of humor. And I think the restraining order is over. That's all I got to say.
Well, she is married, so.
He put the restraining order. Stay away from my wife, creepo. Good interview, though. Big fan, creepo.
David's a cool guy. He's like he's a Latin reggae musician. He's kind of chill, you know. He's got the long dreadlocks. You know, he's just cool, chill.
Oh, little Bob Marley. Is he mm-hmm. really? Okay, man. I will put on my Jamaican accent for her to make her feel at home. Hello, lady.
Well, I don't think that he has that, but. He would
oh, really?
Be a good one to come on the show. Yes, he would.
I'm going to do the whole interview as a Jamaican. Oh, good evening, Mon. Thank you for coming. I'm going to do the whole interview as a Jamaican. Come
what
sit down, man. Let's talk,
do with this guy?
Let's talk about the spirits, Mon. I love the. Just a second. I love the spirit. Here you go. Let's talk. No, I just love to talk to you about the shaman. No, that's shaman. I like the shaman.
Yeah.
It's too polite, right, Mon? Too polite? All right. Don't worry. I'll behave myself.
I got choked.
I'll behave myself. All right, everybody. Oh. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Have a good night.
Bye, dear.
Bye.
Bye.
You too.